see. What's on tap for today? Well, something we didn't get to yesterday. A, we didn't think it was appropriate. B, we forgot. You do the math. 9/11 talk. People who benefited from 9/11. It was a tragedy, but there's a handful of Americans that were probably, I don't want to say happy that it happened, but let's just say the timing wasn't bad for them. We'll explain more about that as we get closer to it. That's somewhere in the next break. Mr. Brightside with an assist from the real Tom Likas this time, not the virtual. That's the virtual Tom Likas. He was with us last week. We now have the real Tom Likas back on the phone, so we'll do that. Also, Def Frat Guy's coming in to studio. He's looking for Delta Fu Gamma pledges for our San Diego trip on Thursday. Ask Kiss Rodeo. Got to find some people to play out in San Diego way, so we'll do some of that. Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN, is going to be on for another installment of Basic Cable Classics. Red Dawn, today's feature. Yeah. Exciting. Check. Don't know if you can participate. Not sure if you're familiar with Red Dawn.
Oh, no, wait. I've seen it 173 times.
Oh, you've
seen.
I think
I should. That should be my...
All right, and much, much more. First, something I saw on AdamCarolla.com. As I said, I do check it out. Was many, many a year. Well, it's a slippery slope. It's a weird thing. I never did know how to work the computer very well, and I always associated reading and especially writing with homework, thus something I didn't want to do when I was at home. The idea... I grew up sort of semi-literate, and then I grew up in an environment with people where the best thing you could do as a kid when you got home was to punch other kids or throw dirt clods at other kids or just watch TV shows your parents thought were funny, but that you didn't get. You know, there was nothing involving reading or anything like that, and so that just carried into the computer. I never got a computer. I never figured out how to work one, and then when people would say, oh, did you see this article, this online article? They wrote a thing on Loveline, or they wrote a thing on The Man Show, and I'd be like, well, where is it? And they'd be like, online. It was always a mixed thing because they'd hand me something and they go, hey, read this article. It's about you. And I'd say, well, I love reading about me. On the other hand, it's got the word reading in it. So I don't want to read it.
You're a man being pulled into two different worlds. A lot of people want to pull you into the 21st century. And then your ape of a friend, Ray, is trying to pull you back into prehistoric times.
Right. And
Let's fling poop.
I hang around... I like that decree. Let's fling poop. I hang around a lot of guys who aren't interested in that. And then I would see the handful of guys that were. Kimmel does that. I've seen Dave doing that. I've seen some others. And then they get upset by what they read.
Yes, I never go on there because it'll be like 9 things in a row about how great I am. And then one thing that will devastate me for 2 to 3 years.
Right. And as I realized, well, it's a slippery slope, and then when do you get enough? You never quite have your fill. It's not like you read... And if you read a horrible thing about yourself, it's good for every 150 good things you read about yourself. So I never would do it. And Loveline had a lot of web pages and The Man Show and stuff like that. I've never bothered. I never have any idea what was going on.
It's funny. I used to... You know, the shock to me, obviously, never having done any sort of like on-air stuff, was the first couple months. I was like... My God, people say bad things. That's all. What kind of thing is that to do to somebody? And now, for some perverse reason, it delights me to no end.
Really?
I don't know why. It's fascinating.
Well, I'm interested to hear what Adam's found.
Well, I did find somebody posted. And you realize, well, this is a tool that can be used for good. We have a lot of listeners who actually use it for good, not for evil, much like a gun in the hands of law enforcement. As opposed to a gangbanger. Somebody sent in an article that was from a Minnesota newspaper that basically talked about the left turn arrows and them blinking and turning yellow and letting people yield. And it's an experiment that they conducted. using blinking yellow arrows to permit left turns in the absence of oncoming cars. See, this is the slippery slope part. So, wait a minute. When no cars are coming, then it's okay to turn left when the light is green? Let me write this down. Isn't that the way we've been doing it for 100 years? See, this is what happens. We put a goddamn arrow and a safety cap and a do not this and a that on everything in society. People shut their minds off, and soon we'll be raising a generation of people that don't know it's okay to turn when there's no goddamn cars coming. I've been ignoring these arrows, thankfully, here out in Southern California for going on 7 years now and elated about it. What are you two doing over there, by the way?
It's
and
very
Brian,
distracting.
Should you be reacting audibly? Yes! Brusker shows you his computer and you go, yeah! What is it?
Sometimes Brian does his own show.
I understand, but do not aid and abet him by showing him your computer screen and then having him react
Shut
to
up.
It.
He showed me something, and then I showed him the answer. Caller 2 basically has something to say.
Caller 2 has something to say.
Oh, boy. Alan, hold on a second. Alan?
Good morning, Adam.
What's up?
Pleasure. Hey, I got a request. The guy that's doing the sound effects... Could you just have him back away from the buttons on the controllers? It's like, it's obnoxious as all get out.
Speaking of people saying mean things.
It's every time you say something, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I got this monkey who sounds like he's getting an anal exam. And I mean, it's just crazy, and it just quit.
All right, Alan, I hear your noise because I've heard other people say this. Here's the reason I don't get on Brian too much, because you only notice the bad ones. But Brian, if you shut him off, you won't get any. I'll try to articulate this, and thank you. Here's what I'm saying. If we told Brian, when they work, and you don't notice them. You just know they work. Yes. They don't bother you.
It enhances what you're doing.
It enhances what you're doing. I would say that 4 out of 5 of them work, but when you hear the 5th one that doesn't work, it stands out in your mind. So to say, don't do them means you're not going to get the 4 either, and it's a weird choice you have to make. Now, you could tell Brian, hold back, pick and choose your whatever, but it's one of these things where it really is tough. I realize it's a tall order. Yes, you should restrain yourself. We used to get that with Anderson when we did Loveline, too. It was the same thing. Stop him from doing those. You realize you do enjoy 80 to 85% of them, but the 10 to 15% that you don't enjoy annoy the F out of you.
Agreed.
Right?
Great story.
Agreed.
Compelling and rich.
But you like that one, right?
That was pretty good.
I just dynamite.
I'm just saying it's one of the, you know what it's like? It's a tough job. It's like being a mover. You could move an entire castle worth of furniture into somebody's mansion, but you chip one end table and it's a disaster. Yeah. No one says, oh, who put that ottoman there? That was nice work. How did that sofa get into the house? Ooh, whoever did that was a pro. There's certain jobs where you screw up a little bit and everyone knows. It's kind of like being a ref. You can do a whole game, no problem, everything great. One bad call at the end of the game.
Hockey
horrible
goalie.
Game. Yes, yes. Hockey goal. There's certain, this is like a furniture mover meets NFL ref meets hockey goalie. That's Brian's job.
But
I do agree, could reel it in a little bit.
To address
yes.
Alan, I think Brian, our sound guy, is a special kind of genius. And like you said, mainly he. But the monkey thing, I was a little. I thought, that monkey sound was a little long this morning. That's why Alan called, and I had his.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
I agree with the special part of the genius, Tony.
Yes, sir.
You want to defend Brian?
I've listened to your show, and he's on it. He's on the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that was Alan's problem.
He's on it.
He's on it.
Yeah, Brian's on it. I mean, the effects are in there. I mean, every single time. The more you know.
Yeah.
He's on there every single time.
Yeah. I do have to hit him with a balled up piece of foil to get him to do that one. But yes, all the rest he cues himself.
I told you not to.
Wait a minute, Prescott.
Oh, did you?
Tell you not to do what?
Prescott, what do you have some sort of hard wire into my brain? While, yeah. Everything I like, you dislike, and then you secretly tell Brian to back off?
No, I don't remember. I might have. It is. So here's the thing with Brian. Sometimes he repeats things way too much, and especially he does also sound effects sometimes when we have like a caller or Adam's twins call in and they're saying a joke, and then Brian steps on it.
I do.
So I do try to reel him in sometimes. And,
no, I'm with you, but I like the more you know.
Yeah, and 90% is still an A.
I am just saying, would you guys disagree with me that the 15% that are distracting, come out of nowhere, they're too hot, they're too loud, they bother you, that is 10 or 15%. The other 5 or 6 out of the 7 you do enjoy, but they never really count.
Yeah, you don't notice when you're telling a story, and you in your mind you go, oh, this story's getting a little bit maudlin, and then he plays the maudlin music, and then you feel better about it.
Yes! All right.
You know what I'm talking
Sorry,
about.
Sorry, Brian. You know I'm a fan, especially at your pay scale. All right, let's continue on here for a second. So let me finish reading some of these excerpts from this article. Anyway, the Minnesota Department of Transportation didn't know how drivers would react to the experimental signal. The experimental signal, the one that makes sense, the one that just makes common sense. Meaning, when the arrow turns red and the signal is green, and your signal is green, the only thing stopping you is a red arrow, which is no different, really, than a crazy homeless man just standing in front of your car holding a red arrow that he's drawn on a box that a 12-pack comes in with a Sharpie. Because that's what it is. There's no cars coming. Let me just imagine this. And this is why I want everybody within the sound of my voice to ignore these arrows. This is how we win our streets back. This is the way we do it in this country. This is what Rosa Parks decided to do some years back on the bus. We're back on the road again. This time it's about arrows. Oh, it's about color. It's about red arrows. Not about black and white anymore. Here's the deal. For a million years, we drove around with no problems. When our signal was green and no cars were coming the other direction, we would just turn left. It was quite easy. Somebody decided, especially here in Los Angeles, basically started in Culver City where I used to work, that every goddamn intersection needed an arrow that turned green to alleviate traffic, but then it would turn red and you would sit there rotting while there was no traffic coming over the horizon. Now, I ask you, is there a difference between the city putting a red arrow up there or a homeless guy with his pants down? No, better yet, his pants are up, filled with fecal matter, ammo, my buddy Ray calls it. And he's staggered out in front of your car, and he's drawn himself an arrow with a Sharpie on a 12-pack box, and he's just standing in front of the hood of your car, and he's holding it red, and he's shaking his head, no. Traffic light green, no traffic coming, but you're sitting there. Now, would you be irate? Would you be honking your horn? Would you be like, hey, out of the way. Get out of my way. I'm turning. I got a car. Got to get on with my life. Of course you would. You'd go insane. But what do? It's official now. The man put it up. It's a red arrow, and we can all just sit there and rot. By the way, waiting to get hit by a drunk driver or carjacked. I have a brain. I understand the laws of society, but guess what? I have eyeballs, and I have a brain attached to my eyeballs, and when I realize, well, there's no traffic coming, and the signal is green, then I put my sun visor down. Do this a little trick. Put your sun visor down. Flip the sun visor down. You'll not see the red arrow. All you'll see is a green light and no traffic coming, and then you may turn. I look in my rear view for cops. I don't see any, and I turn. I've done it several thousand times. As a matter of fact, I've been saying several thousand times for 3 or 4 years. So it's probably into the tens of thousands of times I've done it. I hope and wish and pray that you would all have the huevos to join me in my quest. And yet, I don't understand why it takes some guy in Minnesota, some municipality in Minnesota, to figure out, yeah, maybe we should just make it blink. And people do this all the time. They go, what if people... I hate the people that apologize for the idiots. You are as retarded as the people you apologize for when you do that thing. That's you, Adam. You're a good driver. But what about a lot of the other people that don't I think they can figure out if there's no traffic coming, they can turn. And if they can't figure that out, well, then how are they going to figure out to stop when cars in front of them stop? How are they going to figure out to stop when kids run out in front of the street? How are they going to figure out when to stop when they pull into their driveway? Yes. Adam, what's they could just keep driving into their living room. We need to put, why don't we just put a goddamn sign everywhere telling everyone to do everything? Of course, at a certain point, we have to trust society to operate a motor vehicle. We have something called a license. It's issued. You take a test. You have to do it every so often. If you can't pass the test, you don't get it. And worse yet, we're telling everyone to turn the brain off. Turn your brain off. Let the man do the thinking. Go to the airport. Drop your pants. Take your shoes off. It's going to be a couple hours. Relax. Let the man. He knows what he's doing. Wait there at the light. Slow down. Slow it down. Click it or ticket. Just slow it. Just shut it all down and do it. And all you lemmings, get in line. I'm not doing it. Saddest part is when I explain this to people and they don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, those arrows? Yeah, those are there to turn. I know. Then they turn red and you sit there not turning. Huh. I thought they were there. You have shut your mind off to such a degree that you now no longer pay attention to what you're doing. We all need to take back the streets. Just do it. Just turn. Look for a cop behind you. Don't see any cops. Treat it like you're at the intersection before it that didn't have an arrow. You turn left when it's safe to turn left. We have now taken society and we're aiming at the ground. We're going for the lowest common denominator. It used to be we took the troublemakers and we got rid of them. Now, everything. Childproof cap, childproof lighter, no bottles at the stadium, arrows everywhere, issue everything. We figure out the biggest F-ups in society and then we make the rules based on those handful of F-ups. Well, I'm done. I'm done acting like I'm an F-up. I'm not. I'm a taxpayer and I know how to drive.
You're galvanizing a nation.
I am. Does that mean putting rust coating over them?
Well, no, inspiring them.
Oh, okay. All right. Because sometimes when they manufacture pickup trucks or farm equipment, they'll do a galvanization process. Whatever. I don't care. Yes, they're not going to sit out there and rust waiting at those red arrows. I agree with Teresa Strasser. I'm galvanizing them and Z-barting them as well. Keith?
Yes, sir.
You got stopped by a cop for this?
Yeah.
What happened?
I was at the red light, and it never changed, and there's absolutely no cars anywhere, so I ran it, and the guy was at the corner convenience store and saw me and pulled me over.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're still doing the Lord's work, and a lot of the people, like when you see some of the footage of the civil rights stuff, getting squirted by hoses,
right.
Having the German shepherds attack them.
Sure, Rosa Parks got arrested, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, when you sit home and you watch that civil rights stuff, and you see the German shepherds and the hoses and stuff, but once in a while there'll be a proud person of color, and they'll say, "Well, yeah, my grandfather marched in that." I wonder if any dogs are around going, "That was my dog attacking that black guy," like a little baby, little German shepherd puppy. There's my great grandpa Adolf attacking that black guy. I know his work.
I think they're ashamed in their little puppy way.
It's hard to tell. It seems like they should be punished. Maybe Al Sharpton should start working on them. All right.
I didn't get a ticket.
Keith, I'm sorry that you got a ticket, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to continue ignoring those.
I didn't get a ticket.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. Why not?
I said, well, I'm sitting here forever. The light's not changing. I got to go. So, and he goes, all right, just be careful next time. And he said something about understanding that sometimes the lights don't.
No, all right.
They're on a timer.
Good.
They're on a timer, so they don't flip. So,
well, here's what I'm saying: if everybody did this, there's nothing they could do about it. Everyone should do it, and then anyone who gets stopped should fight it, and we've clogged the system, and there's nothing they can do. And again, I've done it thousands of times. I do it every day. There's a signal right by my house. I'm sure Bruska knows the signal up at the top of the hill there, and I drive through it every single day. I just look and see. No cars, I turn. That's the way I choose to live my life. And I would argue more dangerous sitting there waiting for cars to crest the hill, who oftentimes are speeding, who may run into you, as opposed to taking destiny into your own hands and steering your own vehicle. I don't know why we can't figure this out. Certainly we have the technology to put cameras at every other intersection. Why don't we have the Why don't we have the technology to do something that helps the citizen and the taxpayer? Because there's no paycheck, and we're going to have to force the retarded government's hand on this one. So please, everyone, just do it. I really mean it. I've been doing it for years. It's liberating if I get a ticket in the 8 o'clock hour. If I actually get ticketed while I'm doing this show, it is still worth it to me. I've saved countless hours doing it. Okay, so I'll keep doing it, and if I get a ticket, I'll tell you, but I've been talking about it for now 5 years, and that's just in this one sitting.
And this guy got no ticket. He was pulled over.
Yes. I don't know what, Brian, I've been yapping about this for at least 5 to 6 years, right? Certainly before while we were at the old studio when we used to do Loveline in Culver City, when it first dawned on me that this is a retarded thing to put out in the street. Yes,
longer,
Brian?
Than I've known you, yes.
Yes, and never got a ticket. You know why? Doesn't look like anything. Look in the rear view, no cop behind you, you're free to do it. You're not going to get a ticket. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to do folks that benefited from the 9/11 tragedy. Somebody's on line one. We'll talk to when we come back. Keegan?
Yeah.
All right, hang tight, buddy.
Cool.
Because you, I can see up on the screen you have one of our candidates for people who benefited from 9/11.
Yeah.
So hang on. We'll talk to you. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. This Thursday, the Adam Carolla Show is hitting the road. We're live in San Diego, Thursday night, 6 p.m. at the Wave House in Mission Beach with Tony Hawk.
He is the innovator of so many different tricks.
David Alan Greer.
Bring it on, baby.
Surfer Anastasia Ashley. And San Diego Charger, Sean Merriman.
Sean Merriman again coming around the corner, and he has been a monster so far.
And a San Diego Ass Kiss Rodeo Championship. So brush up, brown nose. You can win $1,000. Brought to you by Playboy TV and Spice On Demand. Call your cable provider to get it today. Even the deaf frat guy will be there.
Delta Foo.
Recruiting new pledges for Delta Foo.
You may have to get your stomach pumped.
Thanks to Miller Lite. We'll see you in San Diego in 2 days. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, we will be there. Excited to meet Sean Merriman, Chargers.
He was
backer.
Awesome last night. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I saw enough of it to see him have 3 sacks. It's all over the place and only getting better. Defensive player of the year last year's
I
rookie.
I think rookie of the year. But yeah, he looks like he's not just going to be merely very good, but he looks like he's going to be a dominant guy for a dozen years.
Defensive rookie player of the year.
If I'm not
mistaken.
Do they
have that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought, did it used to just be rookie of the year? And we only focused on offense?
It's not the same as it is in baseball or in something like hockey where they have one group of voters determining.
Boring. I like when people bring stuff up and ask questions and then lose interest in your answer.
You were reading my mind.
Sean Merriman. Well, anyway, Pro Bowl last year as a rookie and I guess Defensive Rookie Player of the Year. But here's a guy who, barring injury, seems like he's going to be a perennial all-pro.
Seems like a fun fella, too, when you see him interviewed.
Crazy tats, mohawk, the whole bit. First, before we get to the big winners of 9/11, Mark?
Hi, Adam.
What's up, Mark?
Hi. Listen, I agree 100% on your Red Arrow topic. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have is that you're advocating people breaking the law. That's just not the right way to go about it. Now, I live in Vegas, and I'm equating your theory with the Red Arrows with stop signs, and I just constantly see people running stop signs out here. And I stopped some people, and I was like, hey, why did you run that stop sign? I'm just trying to understand
you
this.
You stopped them?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you do, flash them a badge your mom made you out of tinfoil?
You are gay.
They pull into a convenience store.
Police. You don't recognize the pit helmet? Pull over.
Well, I'm translated from the East Coast. I never saw it like this back there.
Okay, but let me explain this. First off, people on the East Coast invented horrible, rude, fast driving, number one. Number two, I'll get back to your stop sign analogy. The reason it's not like a stop sign is because they don't have one stop sign you stop at and the other one you don't have to stop at. You see, every intersection you can just turn left when the light is green, except for you hit one where there's an arrow and the light is green and you can't turn left. What makes it different than the one before it and the one after it? You see, a stop sign is just a stop sign. They don't vary.
And also,
unless it's a four-wayer, which to me, I don't know why they ever put that little thing up that says four-way, because to me, that means don't slow down. When I see four-way, I'm like, oh, it's on. I didn't know, oh, the other guy thinks he's going to stop. Or if you are going to do the four-way placard under the thing, only do it one way, because I don't need four guys seeing the four-way thing. We're all just going to meet in the middle. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Well, these stop signs that I'm talking about, they are four-way stop signs, but, you know, these people that...
Well, nobody stops. There's no reason for a four-way stop sign. You shouldn't be stopping at a four-way stop sign. Mark, what are you doing other than not getting light? How did I know? I pulled a few folks over and told them. Yeah, pulled people over.
But their answer was that no cars were coming.
Right. Their answer should have been, get away from my car, you weirdo.
A couple of them said that, too.
Okay.
But I mean, it's the same
Mark,
thing. It's
I understand.
Narrow.
I understand, Mr. Traffic, but let's focus on you.
Okay. But you're,
how
but
old are you?
I'm 39.
39. And yeah, what's going on? You married?
No, I'm not married.
Shocker. Shocker. What do you do for a living? You work at the salad bar at Caesars?
No, I'm a logistics manager.
Looking to move up to crouton patrol? All right, listen, manage your own junk, would you? Logistically steer your junk toward a vagina, would you? That would be the biggest change you could make in your life. Don't worry about these stop signs.
But
focus on the ladies, Mark. I'm serious.
You're telling people to break the law.
Who cares? Look, we already talked about this. When the law is wrong, it's up to us as Americans to break it. That's what this country's about.
Right. Yes, we've changed a lot of laws along the way. You know, it used
Rosa
to be that
Parks
certain people
broke the law. Would you have called Rosa at home and whined to her that she should have stayed in the back of the bus?
But her law that she broke didn't endanger other people's lives. I agree with you that it needs to be changed.
Let me ask you this there, smart pants. At many of these signals... Many of these signals were in existence for 50 years before they put the arrow on it.
Okay.
How is it that we could drive with it before for 50 years with no arrow? How come that wasn't dangerous and now it is?
Because 50 years ago, there were less cars on the road, less traffic, less problems.
But listen, Mark, you get to a stoplight that does not have an arrow.
Okay.
And the light turns green.
Okay.
And you want to turn left.
Right.
How do you know when it's safe to turn left?
When there's no cars.
Okay. Now, what if I put my sun visor down and block out the arrow that the man put there telling me when it was okay to turn left?
Adam, I said I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
What you're saying, the principle behind it.
I understand, but Mark, seriously, let's focus on you getting late. I know it seems like I'm jumping around, but this is the best thing anyone could ever do for you.
How can you help him?
First thing, stop pulling over motorists at four-way stop signs.
His junk has come to a complete stop.
That's right. Why don't you have your junk yield for a little vagina every once in a while?
Well,
all right.
Baby have his bottle.
All right, I'm tired of this. Now, yes, we're talking about the big winners from 9/11. A lot of people, just assume that's a tragedy, and everyone felt it the same. We all grieve, obviously, but there are a handful of people. I wouldn't say they're glad it happened, but they probably figure the timing was serendipitous. Keegan,
yeah,
you want to bring up the second person on our list?
Ace, I love the show, man. It's hilarious.
Thank you.
All right. Damn it, Shaq. I love the jerk list, too. So, Gary Condit.
Gary Condit, yeah.
He was a senator from I can't remember where, but he killed his secretary.
Well, Washington, was he in the state of Washington, or where was he? I thought he was up north from here.
Modesto, I thought.
Modesto, yes. Oh, okay. Yes, he was. Well, I guess it was up north, but just not that far. Yeah, I didn't even know Modesto needed a senator.
And he was accused of killing Chandra Levy. He was never charged or convicted.
He was banging her, wasn't he?
Well,
that seems...
The guy, first off, the guy looked like a bad used car salesman, like when they did that thing. And then whenever these stories come up, people start coming out of the woodwork. Other people start piping up, other interns and stuff like that. But the guy had the Grecian formula and the permatan, and he just looked like he was... Well, He looked like most congressmen. I'm assuming he was Republican just because that's what he looked like. He didn't have the Democrat look.
You know he didn't. You know he looks not unlike, particularly in the hair. Mike August, our talent booker, he has that ridiculous head of hair.
He had a little salt and pepper work, and he. It was all the scandal about him and Chandra Levy, and whether he did anything with her. I mean, whether he was involved with her killing or not, it's never really been proven. They found her body a year and a half or so later at like a park or something. They've never really solved it. Either way, if he didn't do it, it didn't make much difference because he was being implicated.
Well, the point is that all the slate was wiped clean. If your crime was under investigation when 9/11 happened, the police just said, well, throw it out the window. We're not going to bother with this anymore. We have bigger fish to fry. That was the beauty of it Gary Condon.
The police didn't do it. The public did.
Yeah, no one cared
And the
anymore.
News agencies. And it just went.
And the police.
Oh, actually, wow. Yes. I didn't know that.
I said, we have other things to worry about.
Yeah, so Gary Condon, who was all over the pages and scandal and what have you, boom.
Well,
he was
fine. The one to me that was the craziest was a couple of days before 9/11, Anne Heche sat down with Ellen DeGeneres' ex-old lady. She sat down with Barbara Walters. Right. And she was going on and on about how she speaks aliens. She talks to aliens. She gets transported to where? The Mars or to the moon or something?
Mm-hmm.
And she's Celestia is her name out in space. And she interacts with these aliens. And then Barbara Walters said, hey, can we hear a little of that? And she said, sure. And she just started to blather in like Greedo in Star Wars. Imanawa solo.
It's always weird, too, that we always sit up when they go, and you're speaking to this person in this language that nobody understands, and they go, could you speak for us? And they always go, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then I always sit up. Oh, this is going to be good. And then the person's like, Neophyte Pupnuk, Nefoy Payavon. And you're like, oh, that's you speaking gibberish. I sat up and got my steno pad out. I thought this was going to be something.
Wait a second. I think I have the clip. Let's hear it. Let's hear Barbara Walters.
What could I do when I was Celestia? I spoke a different language. I spoke a different language that God and I spoke together.
Can you still remember that language you spoke?
Of course.
Can you do any of it?
Yeah. The part we cut out was the part where they go back and forth. Well, what do you want me to... Can you say? Can you speak in that language? Sure. What do you want me to say? Well, I don't know. Just say what you like. Well, what would you like it to be? Well, I don't know. Could we just agree on the phrase, whether it's speaking the Martian language or it's speaking Hungarian? Whatever it is, let's start agreeing on it because I've done this many times. Well, you speak Hebrew. You spent time in Europe. Oh, in Easter. Oh, can you speak a little Czech for us? What do you want me to say? I don't know. What do you want to say? Well, what would you like? I always do this thing. Just say something.
Maybe it should just be universally. It should just be ignore the left turn arrow.
Yes.
Ooh, that would be powerful. Good.
But the point is, Heche, I predicted that her demise. This was going to be the end of her career. She was going to be a laughing stock, not unlike Tom Cruise has become in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And then 9/11 happened. Again, slate clean for Anne Heche.
Well, people have bigger fish to fry. Also, Paula Poundstone, the comedian, arrested for charges of lewd acts on a child. Remember this story? She was babysitting and having like pajama parties or something and had all these young kids over and it wasn't looking good for her at all. Pled no contest on September 12th.
Wow.
That had to be, like I said, I'm sure she wasn't happy. Oh, maybe she had mixed feelings about the planes flying into the building, but sure not happy about it. But it had to be nice September 12th, about 8 a.m., sitting in a courtroom going, Your Honor, and everyone was just that, everyone had that 10,000-yard stare. Mm-hmm. Everyone was clearly not listening to what you were saying. Sort of like, you know, the after show meeting when you're pitching something to Brusca, Dave, you know that stare? Stare minus the laptop. That stare. And so there she is. There's Paula Poundstone telling the judge, well, I plead no contest to the lewd conduct with the minors.
Go home.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching CNN.
I got to call my wife. I got to tell her I love her again.
Well, here's another person. I don't know. I'm sure country singers did very well before 9/11, but it seems like the Toby Keith and the like, I think he had a song, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, The Angry American, and it was everywhere after 9/11. I'm sure he would have preferred that there be no 9/11, but his career did take off.
Lee Greenwood.
Yes.
God bless the USA.
horrible song that had faded into complete uselessness. Then suddenly, every football game had to be opened with him showing up on the 50-yard line, every playoff game, him singing that awful song.
But it's funny that this kind of stuff that we just passed off as middle America NASCAR. Look, Big Tad likes this, but he's the only guy you know that likes the crap. All of a sudden, they're playing it. They're playing it over footage of, fallen firemen, and, 9/11 and towers on fire. And a single tear rolls down Sean Penn's cheek. That's right. It would get you.
Lee Greenwood was an embarrassment to his brother, LC.
I think it's a different guy.
It is?
I'm pretty sure one of them's black and the other one's not. Yes, Rudy Giuliani, who was in the middle of a divorce scandal that people sort of forgot about.
Oh, that was very ugly, that scandal.
Wasn't he living with somebody, divorced from somebody else and all this, and all of a sudden just became a hero. So, again, last one, all actors that are impersonating Osama bin Laden, the lookalikes to play the parties. That's nice.
Yeah, sure. It used to be that if you were an actor and you had, sort of in a swarthy look, maybe you didn't get a lot of work. Now there are miniseries and other roles.
Well,
you were
limited to the Howard Stern roles at the party. So I went to a party with a Howard Stern impersonator, and it's funny, right, when you walk in, but then it stops being funny when the guy's taking his wig off and he's standing next to you drunk and he's talking your ear off about getting into radio. At a certain point, you got to realize there's a certain point. It's an interesting topic. When do the guests at the party pass the entertainment? You see, when you're a kid and you go to a party and there's a clown making balloons, he's the king. But then when you go to bachelor parties, there's a stripper. Well, that's something else. But I went to a hip Hollywood party with a bunch of young guys who wrote and produced and whatever, in which case the guy who's impersonating Howard Stern is below the guests. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's weird as when you grow up, whoever the entertainment is at the party is way above you. Now the guy pulled up in a Vega wagon and your mom is paying him $13 for a 3-hour gig, but he's still the king because he's turning that balloon into a pony or he's doing a card trick. This is exciting stuff. But at a certain point, you will surpass the party's entertainment. That's how you know you've arrived. You've surpassed the band. Mm. They don't have big name talent. They just have a band or they just have an impersonator. If you're better than the band, better than the impersonator, that's a good sign.
But did the impersonator latch on to you because since he was a Howard Stern impersonator, he knows you'd been on the air with Howard Stern, so he figured, well then, by the transitive property, Adam and I are now friends.
This is before that, but it's hard to tell because I was on the radio and I was I had wrist surgery and I had some Vicodin and some Sam Adams.
Well, I would have been your friend.
Sam Adams and Vicodin.
That's
yeah,
a good
so
combo.
I, it was hard to tell. I couldn't process things the way I normally would. But the point is when do you pass the entertainment at the party? Mm-hmm. And here's your mission in life. Try to keep going to parties where the entertainment's always better than you. Because when you really arrive, people will pay. It's a little known secret, but they will get Bill Cosby to do a little talking at the party. They will get the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play. They're rich people. Bands do that all the time. Here's $100,000. Play my party. And they don't brag about it. The bands don't do it. It's sort of like what the entertainers do with corporate gigs. They don't brag about flying on a private jet to talk to some executives from Beatrice about something. They just make $200,000, and that's how it works.
Sounds like you know of what you speak.
I do, just because I have James Baby Doll Dixon handles people that do that, not me. I'd love to. Don't get me wrong. I take the money in a second. I go
talk.
Well,
how about an example of what you're talking about is when Jimmy Kimmel a couple of years ago for his cousin Sal's birthday brought in Rowdy Roddy Piper.
At my house,
that
yes.
That was cousin, something, but Carolla transcended him, yes?
Cousin Sal's a huge fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper, so much so he used to wear a kilt to WrestleMania. Yeah.
I was just deciding whether I should admit I didn't know who that was.
He should have been institutionalized at that point. A wrestler who wore a kilt. Point is Kimmel dug him up, paid him a few grand, and he showed up as Rowdy Roddy Piper at my house for Sal's birthday party a few years back. You can do it. I'm just saying you should always go to parties where the entertainment is better than you. Mm-hmm. Powerful stuff. The more you know. Sorry, Bruskin. All right, T, what's in the news?
Well, we will be... I wasn't quite ready for that.
Man, let me say this. You don't. Yes. I'll filibust then. You don't want to be the belle of the ball at the party. You want to be barely invited. Don't do the one where you're the marquee name at the party. Be the one you're lucky to get into. I could go to a party at my buddy Ray's apartment, and I would definitely be the marquee name there, but I'd rather go to a party in Malibu with a bunch of A-list celebrities, and I barely got in.
Mm-hmm. You mean
see what
Ray,
I'm saying?
Who flung poop at my heart? That yeah. Ray?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Coming up in the news, we will be talking a little bit about Bush's address last night to the people in honor of the anniversary of 9/11, breaking down some of the stuff he said, and also a horrible story about what a woman did to her husband. It is not to be believed.
Misty?
Yeah.
You're saying that Anne Hayes speaking alien is not crazy?
No, ma'am, because look, I'm not saying I've seen aliens or went through any of that. All I'm saying is it's a big universe, and it would be naive to think it was just for us. However, that would mean that there is a lot of celestial travel. And do I believe it's possible? Of course, because God is real. And
no.
If you see somebody levitate, honey, and they ain't got strings attached to them, they're levitating. Believe
right.
it.
Man, I'm crazier than a rabbit's ass.
It's not the strings that were attached to them. It's that you were high when you were watching them levitate when, in fact, they weren't
Sam
levitating.
Sam Adams
no,
and Vicodin.
Man. You know Chris Angel, mind freak. Seriously.
Yes.
I do.
He's a genius.
Clip.
Chris Angel, mind freak, came on my radio show, and not this one, my previous radio show, and he's so extraordinary that he brought a tin salad fork with him, and he handed it to me and Dr. Drew, and he said, what do you guys think? Examine this. And I looked at it and felt very light, and felt like pot metal, and it had a bunch of holes in and stuff, and it seems fine, and hand it back to him, and then he made it bend.
Magic tricks on the radio,
dude,
by the way.
I can move a pendulum with my eyes.
Well, do you speak any languages, celestial
How
languages?
How about you move a broom with your arms and get busy?
All right,
Smarty. All right.
I want to know if she spoke celestial.
I would like to know that, too. I know Preston wants to go to break.
Sorry.
Misty?
Yeah?
Do you speak any celestial?
No, dude.
All
but
right.
God and his...
All right. All right, so people want to know why they're unemployable. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the news after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Month on the Adam Carolla Show, your chance to win $10,000. All you gotta do is outbook August.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guest in the month of September.
And the way things stand, it's not gonna be too difficult to win $10,000. DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill, no show. Tara Reid, no show. Don King, no show. And whoever books the best guest by Wednesday is gonna win $500. Yeah, you'll still be in the running for the 10 grand, but you better hurry. You got today and tomorrow. $500 up for grabs and a $10,000 grand prize.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Someone will win.
That person shall be me. So far, it's not looking good.
Outbook August.
Mike August can't even book himself into the studio.
All this month on the Adam Carolla Show.
Is that a stick song?
Yep.
Oh, it's a horrible song. All right. Well, if Mike August does win, in fact, he can afford some socks. People, get with it. I know a lot of people are hanging back because I got my ear to the street. I go out there. People talk to me. Everyone's coming out of the woodwork. They have people they're going to get, people they're going to find. Everyone's got an idea. It's time. The time is now, my friends. And again, hey, if you... got John Travolta on the show to sit here and talk about his relationship with the Church of Scientology for an hour. Well, actually, an hour would probably be long. Let's say half an hour. Point is if you did that in the 9 o'clock hour today, you would win the month. I think a lot of people are sitting on it. They want to bring it out on the 27th of September. Bring it out now. You'll be the leader in the clubhouse. And if, again, that'll be the best, if that's the best score posted, it's the best score. We're not going to forget about you. I think people are treating this like the Academy does with movies. So sometimes people they'll release their movies late, close to Oscar voting season. They don't want to do that thing where, oh, that was released too early. People forgot about that one. That will not be the case here. $10,000, my money.
Do you have the so-called ace in the hole yourself, Ace?
I do. I just decided it would be unsatisfying for me to keep my money.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I will not try to get your Alec Baldwin's or your Howard Stern's or your whoever's to come on the show. I know a handful of celebrities have a Denzel Washington connection.
Wow. Mm. That'd be hard to beat. Yeah. Teresa, you got anything in your hip pocket?
I got a friend of a friend.
But you're
I
not
going
to share the name. But it's an A-lister.
It's yeah, I can't confirm yet. I'd say B-list.
Mm. Knows that lady from PBS who wears the hats? The journalist with the crazy hats and the glasses?
You guys would kill me if I brought them in.
Right. The only celebrity I know is Corolla, and he pays me $11,000 a year to do this, so the $10,000.
That's right.
Right.
All right, T, you ready to do the news?
Sure am. Well, there's breaking news this morning out of Syria. Islamic militants attempted to storm the U.S. embassy in Damascus using automatic rifles, hand grenades, and at least one van rigged with explosives, 4 people dead, including 3 of the assailants. No Americans were hurt, and apparently the attackers did not breach the high wall surrounding the embassy. A Chinese diplomat was hit in the face by shrapnel and slightly injured. That story is still, more is coming out about that.
The van now has officially done more harm than good as far as society goes. Sure, there's the moving van, but more teenagers have been raped in a van than furniture has been moved. It is now turn the corner with vans. I now say we get rid of them. Pickup trucks are nothing. No good can come from a van.
Seems like pedophiles often have vans.
I'm just saying, it's that panel van with no windows on the side. You're always keeping a lookout for the van. At a certain point, I'm just going to go ahead and treat them like lawn darts. Sure, it's a good time, but people are getting hurt. No more.
Meanwhile, President Bush spoke last night from the Oval Office in honor of the 5th anniversary of 9/11.
Not vans, the shoes.
The shoes.
Those okay. I'm fine with.
Okay, good. I like them too.
Okay.
During President Bush's address, he attempted to link the war in Iraq with a broader war on terrorism.
I'm often asked why we're in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was not responsible for the 9/11 attacks. The answer is that the regime of Saddam Hussein was a clear threat.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he went on. We were just discussing it during the break. His performance seemed adequate. He didn't stumble around too much.
Nope.
He did say nuclear, though. Again, he refuses to give that one up.
Yeah. And there's that moment before he starts speaking where they come to him and he just has to sit there looking into the prompter. He looks a little dazed.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise,
I did like when he said, the people of the Middle East need to realize that the greatest resource is not the oil underneath the ground, but the people's talent and creativity. One, how do you know? I'm sure you've never interacted with any of them. And two, when you're discussing a people whose last invention was 2,348 years ago, and namely it was chess, how dare you talk about the
good game?
I got a little chuckle. I got a little chuckle out of that one too. Like, yeah, the oil wells will dry up, but don't worry, they're going to release so many hit albums and books of poetry that they'll more than make up for that. Yes, I would say this. As a matter of fact, the fact that they've been producing something that comes from beneath their feet and that Whitey from Texas just sucks out from under them has crippled them. They don't do anything else. They don't have any other products other than poppy seeds and dates because of this. It's kind of an interesting thing. You know, here in this country, we have a lot of natural resources, but obviously we have to create a lot. We're forced to constantly create. Otherwise, we're not going to survive. If we were just sitting on top of a pool of something, imagine this country. Poor Bruska told us to hurry it up. But everyone, imagine if this was the scenario in this country. We were just sitting on top of a pool of liquid gold, and it was a couple hundred feet underneath our feet. We didn't know how to extract it, really. But don't worry. Our neighbors from Canada or other parts of the world just came out and bought it from us. All we had to do was move aside and share in the profits. Do you think we'd have the auto industry we have? Do you think we'd have the computer industry we have? Do you think we'd have any of the industry that we have? No! It's crippling. It's why disability doesn't work. Yes, they don't do anything over there because we've been paying them billions of dollars for billions of years to suck the oil out from under them. I wouldn't do anything either. I'd just step aside and have a bong load and wait for that check from Texaco to come in. And that's what we've done to them.
Other politics.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Thank you.
Okay,
then there's poppy seeds.
Let me get to this quickly.
Not for the delicious, ironic poppy bagel, but for the opium.
Well, I've got 20 seconds before Bruska told me to rap and two stories.
All right.
How am I going to do it?
Do it.
I'm going to do it. Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if you've heard this, but he was recorded. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some hackers were involved. They're looking into it. He was having a little private conversation in his office where he was speculating about the ethnicity of a state assemblywoman, Bonnie Garcia. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of banter, and listen closely.
She's better Puerto Rican, the same thing as Cuban. I mean, they're all very hot. They have part of the black blood in them and part of the Latino blood in them.
If you didn't get that, the Latinos are hot, and they have the black blood in them and part of the Latino blood, and that together makes it.
Right. She doesn't care, by the way.
She thinks it's funny. Here is Schwarzenegger saying he's sorry.
Bonnie Garcia, I apologize to her. If she got offended, but I mean, she and her joke about all this many
she
times.
She doesn't care.
And she says, I'm a hot Latino.
It's all the other loudmouth liberals that care, shut your pie holes. And go back to whatever it is that you're doing that nobody gives a rat's ass about. Because I don't know why we do this. Yes, you don't like the guy's politics, fine. But she doesn't care, neither does he. He's apologizing, he doesn't mean it, and apologizing to someone who doesn't want it. So how much time should we waste on this?
Well, a woman in Australia wasted no time in killing her husband.
Yeah.
The court has just upheld a sentence of life in prison for this 50-year-old woman. She killed her husband. She stabbed him 37 times with a butcher knife. Now, that sounds bad, but it's about to get way worse. After stabbing him 37 times, she skinned him, hanged his hide from a meat hook in the living room, decapitated his body, put his head in the stove. Then she took some flesh from his buttocks and cooked it up with veggies and gravy before serving it to his kids. Fortunately, cops arrived before the kids could eat their dad.
I smell reenactment here.
Or is that the smell of burning flesh and vegetables with gravy? Of dad.
All right.
Okay, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
My comments will be exceedingly brief, but I will say this, though, Ace. One retort to your van story is this. What about all the good that Scooby and his friends did in the Mystery Machine? They felled many a criminal, sir.
That's true. And many a guy's gotten some love in a Chevy van in the 70s. A lot of weed's been smoked. Spicoli got around in a van.
He had both kinds of vans.
And I got two words for you. Actually, a letter and another word. Mm-hmm. A-team.
Ah, they drove a van. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Game, set, perhaps match?
Yes, I think you're right with the A-team. Well, custom vans. Okay. I'll make an exception for custom vans. Okay. If you have a Blaupunkt stereo, you have a tuck and roll velvet ceiling and Captain Swivel chairs, I'll let you slide. And if it says Love Tron in rainbow tape on the side, and you got the Kragers with the torque thrusters with the raised white lettering, I'll let you go.
Cool. Okay. All right. Hey, I noticed last night ESPN's trying something interesting this year. It's called Monday Night Football. It's terrific. It's like a bonus night of football. Last night they gave us not one, but two games.
Yeah.
San Diego Chargers took the pipe to the awful Oakland Raiders. What a way to start your year. To lose at home to your division rival. 27-0, Phil Rivers era. Starts out nicely for the Bolts. Also, before that game, the Washington Redskins hosted the Minnesota Vikings in their very unattractive new uniforms. Why mess with something that's so good? The Vikings' old uniforms, now they're shiny and like an arena football team.
Yes.
The Vikings, however, did win by 3 that game. Good news for the Seahawks and my main man, Matt Hasselbeck. Yesterday, they gave the Patriots a first-round pick in next year's draft in exchange for Super Bowl 39 MVP, Deion Branch. Kudos to the NFL all the way around. finally this season they're making trades. Did you notice? They never make trades in the NFL like the other three big sports. But this year they are.
It will help our good friend Matt and his Seahawk buddies find the end zone so the Ace Man could cover. Because 6.5 points against a last place team when you went to the Super Bowl last year was too many points for you guys to cover.
Well, that reminds me. I'll close with that then. 3-1 in our head-to-head, Corolla.
Yes, by a half. Half a point in the Arizona game and three points.
3-1 in our head-to-head, 9-7 overall against the spread in week one. Did I go? And most importantly, our guest coming up in a little bit, the sports guy, ESPN, Bill Simmons. And I went head-to-head in fantasy football. Dave Damashek's cool cat, spelled with K's, Feld.
And
Bill
Z's.
Simmons, the sports guy.
Wow.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We need to take a break. We're going to do a little Mr. Brightside coming up with a nice assist by Tom Likas, who's waiting on hold. It wasn't around last week. We had to do a virtual Tom Likas. This time we have the real Tom Likas. So if you have problems, give us a call. We'll put a happy spin on them. I'll tell you, I sat home, I watched all the 9/11 coverage yesterday, the poor people in Flight 93, they're on the phone, they know they're doomed. They're on the phone with their family. I'm listening to recordings, I love you, I'm sorry, take care of the kids, make sure and be happy. They know, they got the news about the World Trade Center, they got the news about the Pentagon, they knew they were flying into something, and they're all just talking to their husbands and wives via the airphone, explaining, I'll miss you. Give love to the kids. Put everything to perspective.
Did it?
For about 4 minutes, then I got angry at my kids and my wife, and I threw them out. Wow. I switched it back to the Raiders game. Here's the point. The point is you lost your job, you got dumped, whatever. You got a parking ticket. That's nothing. I'll put things into perspective, and Tom Likas will help me. Mr. Brightside, 866-901-ADAM, after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. Call up with your problems at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
Someone's trying to file sexual harassment charges against me for some inappropriate comments that I never made.
Well, you'll be a registered sex offender, and that's not a great thing. But you will be registered, and that's nice.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Test 1, 2. There we go. All right. Where were we? Yes, Mr. Brightside. We have Tom Likas, who always helps us out. Tom?
Hello, Adam.
Great to talk to you, Tom.
Great to talk to you, dear.
Thanks for getting up so early this morning, Tom.
Yes, it is my pleasure.
I understand. I know you start your show prep pretty early. I appreciate you making time for us.
Yes, I do. And just this morning, I came up with another tenet of Likas 101.
What is that?
I call it Tabasco sauce. And for the men in the audience, the young men, those who I say never spend more than $40 on a date, spend $0 if you can. After having sex, pour Tabasco sauce into the condom. And this will bring about, well, you know what it'll bring about. It'll free up your money. And nobody will be into you for vagina money.
I understand. I like that. I like my behymen. And I like the vagina money.
I get what he's saying. You can't be too careful because the Tabasco will kill any remaining seed.
Yeah.
Right you are, dear. M-O-T.
All right, Tom. We're going to do a little something called Mr. Brightside.
Oh, boy. Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Let's start by talking to Kristen. Kristen?
Hi.
What's the problem, baby doll?
Well, I got engaged. I'm 29. I finally decided, okay, I'll get engaged. I'd been asked a few times, and I said yes. And then I got pregnant, and now I'm putting off the wedding because I don't want to get married pregnant with a big fat belly. And I'm just really hating that I'm engaged and pregnant, and I'm not single and not pregnant anymore. And I figured, since you just had twins...
Hold on. You're not pregnant anymore?
No, not single. I'm sorry, not pregnant.
Freudian slip.
You're not not pregnant. To not be pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the chicks that are so hot that they actually get mad at their unborn children for screwing up their bikini. Look, I got this big belly hanging out. It's disgusting with stretch marks. Yeah, that's your son or daughter on the way. Tom finds this
terrible.
Amusing. Well, why don't you hurry up and get married before the belly starts popping?
And let me ask you, dear.
Hold on. Tom's got a question.
Dear. Why would you ever, and I mean ever, want to be a single mother?
I don't. And that's not, I don't want to separate from the guy I'm with or anything. I just,
I bet he wants to separate from you.
That's right. How far along are you?
I'm 6 months.
Okay, so now you're showing, and we're going to have to wait for another 4 or 5 months before you tie the knot.
Oh, boy.
And, Tom, I think you'll agree with me. If this guy had tied the knot in his sack a little earlier, he wouldn't be in this predicament. Am I right, Tom? Am I right?
Right, you.
Am I right, Tom?
A couple shakes of Tabasco sauce, and this never would have happened.
That's right.
And, I tell men on Likas 101, never date single mothers.
That's right.
Like that bitch on the line.
She sounds like a nice girl.
She's more excited than I was. I mean, I think he was really trying.
Okay, but Kristen, I still don't understand the problem. You're engaged. You have a man who loves you. You have a child on the way. You'll crap out the child in 3 months. Then you'll get married sometime at the beginning of the year, and all will be fine, right?
Is it all fine with you now that you've had twins?
Oh, wow.
Well, Kristen, you are going to make a...
Kristen, dear, Adam, if I may, dear.
Sure.
And I like to be gracious when I'm on your program. Dear, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Woo-wee.
I agree with Tom. Tom's a sage.
Right.
I've said it many times.
It seems the problem is that you're not in love with this guy. Is that the problem?
I love him. I just don't love being pregnant, I guess.
Kristen, let me jump in for a second here. I know we do a lot of joking around on this show, but I worry about the future of your unborn child, and I wonder if you shouldn't give him or her up for adoption because you clearly do not want to be a parent. Any woman who's 29 is not 19 and it's not 22, it's 29. Any woman whose biology hasn't kicked in at this point, who isn't decorating a nursery in anticipation of its new arrival, should give this kid away. You are going to make a horrible mother. You're going to leave the kid on the roof of the car where you're going out buying a pack of smokes.
Kristen, do you have a nice set of knockers?
She does now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think that's more of my problem than anything. Is
yes.
That
Where's your horrible mom?
No, she's wonderful.
Well,
everybody
what happened to you?
But me, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm so used to looking perfect that.
Wait, hold on a second. Really, this is seriously a problem. She's 29. She should be delighted that she's pregnant. Either she doesn't love the guy at all. She keeps focusing on what she looks like in a bikini.
I hope he doesn't love her. She's 6 months pregnant. I hope he's out there getting laid.
The kid will be crapped out before Christmas. What is the deal?
My show is all about getting laid.
I understand, Tom.
Oh. Also, this is
but
the kind
that,
of...
Yes. That may be another one of the problems, is that I feel like it's not as, the sex...
Where's your dad? Something went wrong. Uh-oh. In your...
She just was starting to tell us.
He passed away.
How old were you?
It was like 6 years ago.
But you were saying the sex isn't as good?
Yeah, it's just... It's really... I'm scared that everything's going to be like it is now. It's just going to stay like that.
But here's the thing, and I know Tom is probably going to disagree with this, but as long as your sole identity is your sexual usefulness to your partner, you're going to have a horrible life. Because believe me, you have a few prime years, but then you become a mother and you become a partner and you grow a little bit longer in the tooth. And they don't. You're not looked at that way anymore.
I do disagree, but for the boyfriend here, I would say don't get married. Mm-hmm. She's 29. Kristen has, well, according to my calculations, probably 3 to 4 more years of being really hot
before you have to kick her to the curb.
Yes,
Tom?
Before he has to get rid of her.
All right, Kristen.
And then you'll be a single mother, dear.
I really, this is not a problem.
This is Mr. Brightside. You're supposed to make it better.
I'm just wondering
listen,
the same thing.
This is Mr. Brightside for your unborn child. I'm worried about.
What's the bright side for the kid?
Yes. I really worry that you have a kid on the way and you're not excited about it. You're just worried about what you look like in a thong.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about taking care of him. I'm a nanny. I take care of kids. Maybe
I have said on the air, Adam, and I will repeat it now. I have paid for no.
Hold on. Tom,
abortions.
It's not like you to repeat something you've said on the air before, but
never.
4 abortions you paid for.
Yes, I have paid for no less than 4.
Well, Tom, she's 6 months pregnant. Is that okay?
Tom, you gonna do it yourself with some barbecue tongs?
I know it's Teresa. I didn't know it was Mother Teresa.
Well, let's move forward. Brad?
Yes. Hi, Adam. Hi, Tom. What's going on?
What's the problem?
Hello, Brad.
Well, I kind of have a problem that might be more up Tom's alley. I'm not
Brad,
sure.
Brad, aren't you going to ask Tom how he is?
He loves that.
How are you doing, Tom?
Do you care?
I do, Tom. I do.
I'm doing great.
Well, I have a problem that might be up more for your show, Tom, but I'll ask Mr. Brightside, too. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have been married for maybe 6 months now, and already she's kind of wanted to stop performing oral.
Hey.
Well, that's tough, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, whoa.
You just stumped Mr. Brightside.
I like when Tom laments out loud.
Yes. And, Brad, have you said to this bitch that oral is something you like?
I mean, she knows that I'm a big fan of it, and, you know, and...
Does she know that?
She had no problem performing it when we were dating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, now that we've gotten married, it's just something that she doesn't feel is appropriate.
Yes, well, you made the mistake, dear. You made the mistake of marrying this woman, and now she'll tell you how to decorate your apartment. Now she'll tell you what movies you can see. Now she'll tell you how much you can drink and smoke. And now she'll tell you how often you get oral, dear.
That's right. Brad, I'll tell you your only recourse.
Okay.
Well, you actually have two. One involves duct tape and an ether rag. I'm not going to suggest that one.
I like that.
Tom gets a kick out of
that. For himself?
Yes. No, one, I'll tell you what women do. They don't articulate themselves very well oftentimes. When they don't feel like you're listening to them, they shut down and they stop doing things you want them to do because you're not doing things they want you to do, such as listen and communicate. Just start being a nicer guy. You know what it is? Here's what it is.
Don't do that.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
Tom, how dare you? Now listen to me. Here's the best way to get out of a ticket, and it's the best way to get a BJ from your wife, too. Ah. Best way to get out of the ticket, have the cop not want to write you a ticket. Yes, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Hands on the wheel. Sir, I'm going to reach for my wallet now, if that's okay. Make the guy feel bad that he has to write you a ticket and you won't get a ticket. You show up there, oh, what's the matter? No terrorists coming into town? You don't got better things to do? You're definitely going to get a ticket. Same way with the wife. You want a BJ? Don't argue with her about why she should be performing oral on you. Get her some flowers. Listen to her. Ask her how her day was. Then you get the oral. Look, shut your ears down. You're kidding, obviously.
Brad,
you don't care about her day. Yes, go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Brad, I'm sure that for Adam, the Jedi mind trick has worked in the past. But I just recommend you don't get married and you get laid as often as you can, son.
All right. Brad, since you've already made the mistake of getting married...
Dump that bitch.
Oh, well, the bright side is maybe the wedding ring won't scratch your schmippy.
Thanks, guys.
Adam, I have a joke that I use on the air often.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know why divorce is so expensive?
Yes, I do, but go ahead.
Because it's worth it. I do that joke every opportunity I have.
Always funny.
I know, but it gets funnier every time. Chris?
Yeah?
Mr. Brightside, what's going on?
Hey, not much. I got a little issue with one of our...
I'll tell you how I got Oral back into my...
How?
Let me just explain another one.
Because your last advice was incredibly
that
good.
That was strong, but this one's a more positive, straighter forward one. Here's the way I got Oral back into my marriage.
Yeah.
You know the product Nutella?
Yes.
That chocolatey, nutty spread that
Nutella.
Toby likes?
Yeah.
Spread a little of that on the joint.
Wait
Molly
a second.
Loves it.
Yeah. It's tough during the summer because we have an ant problem.
Hold on. I'm concerned because Nutella looks an awful lot like something else down there that you don't want to see.
Well, I'm just saying women cannot...
It's brown.
They can't resist the Nutella or the Nutella or whatever however you pronounce it. Good enough for Kobe. Good enough for me. Sorry.
Tom's got a sweet tooth.
Chris, what's going on?
Hey, I work commercial construction. I got a foreman that keeps coming through and speaks.
His Nutella is not together.
Watch the language,
unbelievable.
Chris.
Unbelievable.
That's right. So you have a foreman that keeps hanging around.
Yeah, we got a foreman that hangs around and he doesn't really know what's going on. He's asking more questions than he's answering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out a way to kind of bring him up to speed in a positive way, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh. Well, here's what I would say. I do not do this in my own life, but I've learned over the years probably the best way to do it is go out and have a beer with the guy, break bread with him, make him think he's one of the boys. What happens is at the workplace, especially on the construction site, people break off into cliques, and then it just becomes the Jets versus the Sharks, and you've got a rumble going on in the streets. Invite him. Hey, we're going to have a beer. Invite him. He'll go have a beer with you, and then you can do whatever you want.
Let me tell you something. Son, I have never had patience for foreman or foreplay.
Hey, may I suggest, stuff, if that Tom. Doesn't work, just put some Nutella on your penis.
That's
it may
right.
work.
Not a fan.
Would Mr. Brightside agree, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
That's right. Tom, not much time left. Just enough time to read off some people that are up on the board here.
Yes. Yes.
Rob fell off some scaffolding and impaled himself on some rebar. Johnny was speared by a stingray. Unclear if he's going to make it. Marcia has malaria. Todd has a torn ACL, I should say. Bob has cirrhosis of the liver. Doesn't look like he's going to make it through the year. Sheila was thrown from a horse. She broke her spine.
Oh, boy.
Larry was he's trapped in a coal mine as we speak. Bob's got his leg caught in a wood chipper. This guy was hit by a subway car. Francis has a son who's autistic. Larry stuck under a tractor.
Oh boy!
Frank was caught in a bad government experiment. Now he has AIDS. ATV accident. Stuck under a big rig tire. Coal miner's lung. This woman fell asleep while driving. Killed a toddler playing in the street. All right, Tom. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you, Adam. If you'd like to email me, my email address is my name. Tom@blowmeuptom.com.
Thank you, Tom. We do
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. All right. Well, we'll go out the little outro cue.
Feel better? We knew you would.
Put on a happy face.
The bit is basically just turned into me trying to give out actual advice while Tom laughs heartily behind me. But either way, I feel like we're helping people.
Oh, that BJ advice was spot on.
The Nutella?
No, the earlier one.
Oh, okay.
Listening.
But the Nutella would
that
hit
work.
The spot for the tea gal.
If you have a sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, Perez Hilton's going to call in with some gossip?
Yeah, he's calling it.
Oh, all right. We'll do that. Also, Deaf Frat Guy. Wandering the halls, Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN, is going to be in here to do a little basic cable classic review. This movie, Red Dawn, coming up. All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. All this month on the Adam Carolla Show, your chance to win $10,000. All you gotta do is outbook August.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guess in the month of September.
And the way things stand, it's not gonna be too difficult to win $10,000. DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill, no show. Tara Reid, no show. Don King, no show. And whoever books the best guest by Wednesday is going to win $500. Yeah, you'll still be in the running for the 10 grand, but you better hurry. You got today and tomorrow. $500 up for grabs and a $10,000 grand prize.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Someone will win.
That person shall be me.
So far, it's not looking good.
Outbook August.
Mike August can't even book himself into the studio.
All this month on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Perez Hilton is on the phone. He's the celebrity gossip queen. Perez?
Good morning.
You sound lucid. Have you been up all night?
No, I'm in the East Coast, so I'm moving up for a few hours.
Ah, okay. When are you coming back?
Later this evening.
Well, I'll see you at the airport with my fruit basket, as per usual. Yeah. Perez loves my basket. Perez, the reason we got you on the phone is to dish a little insider dirt, but also because we're doing the Outbook August and September, and we're looking for professional celebrity people that can measure yardsticks to measure celebrity, and I think you're at the top of our list.
Well, thank you. I heard Tara Reid canceled on you again.
Yeah, it's been a couple times. I'll tell you, this Outbook August in September has been a curse for August. It really has. I mean, it's like somebody put a pox on his Rolodex. He's not had anyone in here since we started this. But point is when we do, eventually there's going to be $10,000 to give away. Well, really, in just a few weeks. And we want to make sure we give it to the right person, and I don't want to just leave it up to me because I may be a little out of touch. We need people that have their thumb on the pulse of celebrity to tell us, no, this guy's bigger, this person's smaller. We're going to put together an all-star group to figure out who the all-stars are, in other words. And Perez, you'll be one of them.
Gorgeous.
Yes, and let's just hope whatever celebrity we vote on doesn't attempt to kill you in the parking lot after the show.
Oh, it's going to be like live, like be there?
Well, probably not. What we'll do is pick the best. For instance, so far the leader in the clubhouse is still Willie Nelson. He wouldn't be out here, for instance. We would just pick him and give the person that booked him $10,000. But let's move forward with today's gossip.
Willie's a good one.
Anna Nicole's son, is that where we want to start?
Sure, let's. You know, it's really tragic and bizarre, very bizarre. Anna Nicole Smith has gone through, let's just say she's lucky to be alive. You know, in the 90s, she herself was hospitalized for a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. She's been arrested for drunk driving. She's led a very tumultuous life,
sure.
And it's very bittersweet that her son died just days after she gave birth to a new daughter. I also find it really interesting that her camp released a statement saying that they don't believe that drugs or alcohol were involved in the death.
Yes.
But, you know, that's what would first pop into my mind, because they haven't really spoken publicly about him having any previously detected medical conditions, like a heart condition or anything like that. They might have kept it private, but she's not a very private person.
Well, sometimes you don't get your 19-year-old's CAT scans and PET scans and put them on treadmills. Most people just assume 19, 20-year-olds are fairly healthy, so they don't detect these pre-existing conditions. I never heard anything about him boozing or doing drugs. On the other hand, it's weird that it happened in the hospital. Not weird, ironic, but suspicious. Did he get his hands on some medication that were in the hospital and take too much of that?
Who knows? But, I mean, it's just very bizarre because it all apparently must have gone down very quickly. You know, Anna was in the room, and she saw, and her, according to the most recent reports, her son was in a chair in her room where she had given birth just days earlier, and she thought that he was asleep. Mm-hmm. She tried to wake him up, and he wouldn't wake up, so she rung the alarm, and they weren't able to resuscitate him, unfortunately.
See, if that happened to me, my corpse would still be rotting because I've trained my wife. Look, if
don't
the ace
me.
Man's taking a nap, I don't care what the emergency is. Leave him alone. And I don't care if it's going on days. I don't care if I start producing a smell or my flesh is rotting and falling off my bones. Do not wake me up. So sad.
Yeah.
But everything that happens to Anna Nicole is somehow bizarrely funny, even if it's in a morbid way. Agreed?
I don't think there's much humor to it.
I agree, and I don't know why you're making fun of it. What's next?
Well, let's talk Toronto, which is where I'm at. I'm here for the Toronto Film Festival, mm-hmm. and everybody was here this past weekend, including Brad Pitt, who is here promoting his new movie, Babel. Mm-hmm. But somebody who was not here was Angelina Jolie. It's so interesting to me that Star Magazine was the one who was reporting a few weeks ago that they were having problems, mm-hmm. that Brad and Angelina were breaking up. That was a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then last week, Star Magazine was reporting that they're getting married.
Mm. Well,
neither of those are true.
She's insane. I mean, she has serious issues. And when you have serious issues, you're going to be boy crazy. You're going to steal guys away. You're going to have the best sex of your life. And then about 6 months in, you're going to realize after the sex slows down a little, this bitch is nuts, and then you're going to break up. That's how it goes. Crazy is better for the first 8 months or year. Crazy has the passion, it, you know, sexual encounters. Crazy is what steals married guys away from otherwise happy relationships. But crazy does not make a 25-year relationship.
No, but shared common interests does, and they seem to have a lot of those. You know, they
both just, like crazy broads.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what crazy is. Crazy is a great grape-flavored tangy gum. You take a couple bites into it. It's the best three chews of your life, but immediately just tastes like you're chewing shoe leather 5 seconds later. First three or four chews, a burst of flavor. Amazing. Not the consistency spearmint gives you, but the neutrons are firing in your brain. This is the greatest. Then immediately tastes like crap. That's what the crazy relationship is. It's that grape gum. Thank you. The more you know. Go ahead, Perez.
Well, they share a lot of interests. Like, they're very adventurous. They were just recently taking flying lessons together. Mm. Angie was just with Brad this past week in New Orleans, where he was, working towards helping rebuild the city. He organized a contest to try to redevelop impoverished and destroyed areas. And she was not with him here this past weekend in Toronto, but in typical Brad fashion. This is what I love about Brad Pitt. You know, he really kind of has outshined Jennifer Aniston in my book, who just always is complaining and whining, and I just don't like her at all. But Brad came.
Sure, it's going to break her heart.
He's
like
promoting his new movie, but he also used the opportunity of the spotlight to shine it on a cause that he believes in. On Sunday, he showed up at this one-by-one charity benefit concert with all proceeds going to the One Campaign, you know, which Bono is spearheaded and helps to end poverty and AIDS in Africa. Mm. You know, he didn't have to do that when he was here. He could have just gone to promote his movie and just left, but I love that about him. But Angelina,
but let's be fair, he's hot and you're gay.
But he's also doing something to make the world better. And Angelina is, too, and I applaud that.
Well, Jennifer Aniston created a great haircut for people.
Yeah, what about that? Plus, be honest, Perez. One night with Brad versus 100 nameless Africans dying prematurely. What would you do?
I would have the 100 babies living forever.
As opposed to one night of passion with Brad Pitt?
Yeah, Brad Pitt has bad skin.
Perez, who would you most want of any guy celebrity?
You give him a little shot of your Oxy 10, clear it right up.
If it's not Brad, who is it?
I don't know. I don't.
Say it. It's Damashek.
You know it.
Who?
All right, Perez.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes, ah, I know. Go. I knew. I saw that Bear magazine as Miata, and I knew. All right, we need to push forward here.
Okay. Somebody else who was here in Toronto this past weekend was Vince Vaughn, who
dreamy.
I saw Friday night. He rolled into a party at 3 a.m. that I was at. I was getting ready to leave, but he only showed up at 3 a.m. He came with his big posse, very swinger style, but noticeably absent from his group was Jennifer Aniston. Now, I really am starting to believe that there's some trouble in Shangri-La there, because previously the two of them used to be inseparable. I mean, they began the year together in Vegas, where she went to support him for his Wild West comedy tour. She even followed him to Aspen, where he had a 10-year anniversary panel on swingers for the Aspen Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. But now they haven't even been spotted together in forever.
All right, but let me say this. Every relationship is this way. When you're newlyweds or when you just meet, of course you're going everywhere, you're vacationing, you're doing everything. And then at a certain point, you've been together for a certain amount of time, you understand the person will be there when you get back from whatever the trip is, business or otherwise, and that's the way you conduct your life. Why do I have to read so much into it?
Well, it's just interesting to me that they haven't been spotted together in forever. And Jennifer Aniston recently spoke out to People magazine a few weeks ago when there were all these reports saying that she and Vince were engaged, which she denied. But very interestingly to me, she didn't acknowledge that they were even still dating. Mm-hmm. The words that she used, which I think we may have talked about before, she said, you know, we're just being.
Uh-huh.
Being stupid.
Yeah. So, Perez, and by your estimation, then, Jolie and Pitt will make it longer than Aniston and Vaughn.
Definitely. I mean, there's even rumors. I haven't reported this because I don't know how true they are, but according to some publications.
When did that slow you down?
According to some publications, Angelina may be even pregnant again. She's looking a little fuller, apparently, but I don't know.
Let me ask you this, hypothetically. How many African boys would have to die before you kicked Vince Vaughn out of your hotel room? A thin swinger Vince Vaughn. I think I just added 50 to the mix. You answered our question. Thank you. Perez Hilton, everybody. He'll be here at some point when we give away the 10 grand to help us judge who the biggest celebrity in Outbook August in September. Def Frat Guy is in the studio. Oh. Def Frat Guy, we got to go to break. Say hi, though.
Have you had the food?
Yeah. Def Frat Guy is going to be in San Diego with us on Thursday night. Yes.
Bro. I need to mention that I need to get some new pledges to call in. If you want to go to San Diego, maybe now a good time to call in.
You're going to be recruiting some pledges when we're in San Diego.
Have you had the food?
All right. 866-901-ADAM. Let's see if you're Delta Fu material. Def Rat Guy in studio. We'll take a quick break. Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN.com, is going to be in to review another in our series of basic cable classics. Red Dawn, name of this one.
Wolverine!
That's right. Also some Ask Kiss Rodeo. Much, much more. As well as Def Rat Guy. Yes.
I need the planet to call in.
Right, call in, 866-901-ADAM, or you want to make the pilgrimage to San Diego to party with us on Thursday night. Call in. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
The Def Rat Guy really knows how to party. He'll do a six-beer funnel just to get his day started.
Right, Maverick?
Hell yeah.
Dude, dude, dude. Bro, bro, bro.
If you're not wasted, then dance.
Dude, dude, dude. Bro, bro, bro.
If you're not wasted.
I wish you could hear that. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, what's happening, Maverick?
I just want to give a big shout-out to Brusco here. Hey, thank you very much, bro, for killing my bun. I came in here with a nice and not within to a bun
right.
from last night.
Right.
And you have proceeded to K my B.
How did you do that? What happened, Maverick?
K my B because, like, I got in here at 6:30 or right. something. I have class today. I had a little bit of a residual B.
From funneling last
and he
night.
He K'd my B.
He KO'd your B.
Sorry, dude.
He KO'd your BU, dude.
He's just trying to produce a show.
I'm acutely aware of that.
Why don't you tell him to F.O.?
Bro, this show is in Grand Theft Auto being over.
I think it's past that. I think it's past the Grand Theft Auto.
Maybe it's in the red zone. Well,
I got to say this, Mav. We are excited that you're going to be in San Diego with us. Thursday night, 6 o'clock at the Wave House in San Diego. You're going to be recruiting some pledges.
Well, I have to say that maybe this is the proudest moment in Delta Food's history since its founding in 1731.
1731? I thought we found it in March or something.
It's classier.
Sounds classier.
Yeah. It does sound better. Right.
Well, what's going on with the frat before we start talking to new recruits?
I want to give a shout out to Mike F. Mike, dude, I hope you're feeling better, bro. Mike really cut the crap out of his finger cutting a lime.
He hurt himself cutting a lime?
He almost stabbed his finger.
Wow. Well, yeah, be careful when you get drunk and you're cutting up those limes.
Tequila shots or something, I assume?
He likes to put the lime in the beer.
Oh.
I see, yeah. I don't like the lime because it clogs the funnel.
Don't joke about that, bro.
I'm sorry.
Someone almost died doing that.
I'm sorry.
It's not funny.
You need to make light of it. You want to talk to some pledges or you want to do a roll call or what do you want to do?
Listen, we need to tap some new pledges.
Right, right. Well, I got Dustin from San Diego wants to pledge the Delta Foo House. You want to talk to him?
To Dusty?
Yeah, Dustin. Yeah.
I already got a nickname.
Dustin?
Yeah, this is me.
You're calling from San Diego?
San Diego, Mira Mesa.
You're going to come see us Thursday night at 6 o'clock?
That's right.
All right. At the Wave House, you can pledge the Delta Foo House and meet Def Rat Guy in person.
The only reason why you'd want to come is maybe if you like boobs and booze.
Do
Lots
you?
Lots of booze. Lots of booze.
You like booze and boobs?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, yes, then you can sir. you can come out and pledge the house.
Right on. So the Wave House at 10 p.m.?
It's 6 p.m.
6 p.m.? All right.
We'll see you there.
Here we go, Delta Foo.
You're going to have to come up with nicknames for these guys, too. I know Flo Joe and Douchebag have good names, but, yeah.
We got a really cool new plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really cool black guy named Shaquila.
Shaquila?
his nickname?
That's his frat name or his real name?
It's like J-A-Q-U-I-L-A.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like tequila, but it's Shaquila. Like a black tequila. I like that.
It's got that apostrophe in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Steve?
Yeah.
You want to rush the house?
I do. I hold the cake stand record unofficially at Winnick College in Massachusetts.
And you're calling from Los Angeles, but you're willing That's to make correct. The pilgrimage out to That's San correct. Diego on Thursday?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Are you man enough to survive, plant champ?
Yes, sir.
He holds a keg stand record of his college. I think he can make it.
I want to.
Yeah,
make,
that's right. It was a slow tap, but
I want to make new shirts for Delta Foo. It's like, you know, like the Iwo Jima image of the guys holding, but it's guys holding up a pledge to do a keg stand, and it's like in the sun is standing behind
right,
them.
So right. up,
but
the,
you don't
the famous,
know that it's standing. Maybe it could be rising too.
Famous picture of Mount Suribachi when the Marines are raising the flag at Iwo Jima. It'd be the exact same thing except for the flags and Old Glory. It'd be a guy doing a keg stand.
It's a dune.
It's right. Wow. Powerful imagery.
Sure.
This is the Green Incineration.
I understand. Ivan?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
What's happening, Ivan?
Hey, I love your show, man.
Thanks.
Hey, I can definitely be a Delta Foo guy, man.
That's great. You can be there on Thursday night?
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Yeah, I can still party till 3:30 and get up at 5:30 for work like nothing happened.
Beautiful. What do you do?
I work for an environmental firm.
Mm-hmm. So you collect garbage?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Well, you do you can think do he's Delta hungover. Foo material?
What's that?
You can come down, bro, but at the end of the day, I would be the judge.
And you can call him the garbage man, and it'll be one of those confusing handles where it's like, yeah, that's Ivan. We call him the garbage man, and people, why? Because he gets drunk and mops up with the fat lady. No, he actually handles garbage. He's a garbage
very
man.
Very on the nose.
You could call him Scatman, because remember in the series Cheek on the Man, Scatman Crothers played a garbage man. Scatman would be a good name for Ivan. I don't want to tell you how to run your house.
Now that he's graduated, maybe we can find someone named Chugley.
Oh, you had a guy named Chugley?
He graduated.
Oh, so there's a space open for Chugley. It's like a football team. When you cut Jerry Rice or whatever, you'll have the number open for the new guy. You're not going to retire Chugley?
No, that is open.
I see. But, I understand.
Hey, bro, I want to say to the garbage guy, hey, bro, bring some hot chicks, and that will, like, help you out.
Right. You can be bought, in other words, with the ladies.
Hell yeah.
Dominic?
Yeah.
You want to pledge a Delta Foo house?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm from San Diego. You know, I drink. I'm a fat guy. I get my life punched out whenever I go outside. I'm perfect for Delta Foo.
Could he be Chugley?
He seems like... He might be a good Chugley, and he has a drinking problem. He drinks, he gets drunk, he falls down, no problem.
That's a good one. I love that T-shirt. All right, Dominic, we'll see you. We'll see you on Thursday night.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry. Yes, go ahead, Math.
I want to ask these planets. They talk about this drink, but I also want to know what are their weaknesses.
Interesting. Well, maybe Dominic. Oh, let's see. I just got rid of him. So the point is we all know everyone can drink and they love the ladies and they're fat and all that. But what do you think your Achilles heel is?
It's like at the end of the day, what is going to K my B?
Right.
Like Brasca K'd your B earlier this morning, Kenny.
Delta Foo.
Hell yeah.
What do you, be honest, Kenny. We can all drink. What are your weaknesses? What do we have to work on with you?
There's a lot.
How would you K Mavericks B, for instance?
I would never want to do that.
But you may be one of these guys that talks too much about an ex-girlfriend or politics or tells Mav to show up too early and then have him sit around the green room for an hour and a half cooling off. Losing his buzz before he comes on the radio?
No. Okay.
One thing that really came my be one time was when I was like, Moose, he always liked to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's like, dude, that is not your elbow or your knee.
Oh, mean Moose gets wood when you wrestle?
He said he's always semi-erect.
Semi.
So his excuse is he's always in a leather phase.
It doesn't add up, though, at the end of the day.
Right,
it doesn't add up.
I agree.
You're acutely aware of that.
All right, we need to take a break. I'm in fear that Breska's going to K Mavericks B even more. I feel like we need to just cut bait here.
I want to say one thing that maybe San Diego, like whatever, Thursday at 6 at the Wave House, it might be the proudest moment since Delta Foo's founding in 1731.
Way back. I'm sure the founding fathers, Lord Douchebag and Sir Chug-a-Lug, would just shed a tear of pride seeing you carrying on the great 300-year legacy
this
way. The first
Chugley. Chugley the first.
Chugley the first. All right, we need to take a break. Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN.com, is going to be in soon to do a little basic cable classic review. Red Dawn this time also. We'll play some Ask Us Rodeo. But I will tell another one of my many personal stories.
Give us a hint. What's the topic?
Well, I have a whole list that somebody gave us that I forgot about. I will tell Dave Damashek's personal one. It involves my buddy Ray, but it's like a three-parter. Involves fighting and loving.
This is one of my
favorites. It's the manliest story I have.
Oh, good.
We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. With Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Down goes Frasier! Down goes Frasier!
You dirty little bitch.
bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I was on AdamCarolla.com, and somebody made a list of stories they remember me telling in days of yore and put a whole big list of them on there, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to share this with the newer audience, stories you haven't heard me tell before from my past, because I was one of you and then some. Oh, believe you me.
You really weren't one. You weren't a normal person. Your stories involve, you know, most people's stories, they naughty little comments from the back of the classroom and being deemed a class clown or something. That's normal people. Yours involve throwing poop and peeing.
Yes, your friend Ray actually threw his feces at your head and into your ear.
He actually, first off, you may be wrong in two accounts. It's unclear whether it was his fecal matter or not. It could have been my buddy Chris's. And number two, he did not throw it. He put it in his hand
and placed it lovingly,
protected tastefully by a paper towel, because he's not an animal. And he slapped it on the side of my neck as what a bear would do if it was fighting with a camper. Just boom, this big paw right on the ear and side of the neck.
To this day, you don't know whose fecal matter it was?
I'll tell you, you know, time has a way of turning fecal matter into sand through an hourglass.
Heavy.
Yeah, well, let's actually Ray's on the phone. Ray?
Hi.
I'm getting to another story here, but whose fecal matter was that you slapped on my neck in high school?
Could have been a combo.
Interesting.
Option three.
Yeah, what we call a suicide in the business.
Ah, got it.
True.
You know, soft swirl, sometimes you go with the 50-50 black and white.
It was like biology class.
It could have been Chris, could have been Ray. Although, Ray, here's how I know it was Chris. If it was yours, you wouldn't have had it in a paper towel.
Yeah, I agree.
When you delivered my beloved Rams beanie back to me like a lunch pail with a Duke in the bottom of it, that was yours.
That was mine.
Okay. All right, hang on a second, Ray. The reason I bring Ray into this is because he's involved with many of these stories, and he is he's a prominent player in this next story, which is a three-parter. It takes place over a year or so. And it really just, you could peel it like an onion. Now, just so people know, I will not exaggerate any of these stories. The truth itself sounds like an exaggeration. Many of the things that we actually did seem that way. Sometimes I'll come across as a hero. Other times I'll have S in my ear. But once in a while, there's a story where I do come off like, hey, wow, tough guy or good guy or sweet guy. Yes, I'm not gonna dumb myself down on that one. On the other hand, most of them end up with me getting something in my ear. Ones we can look forward to coming up is the time my buddy Snake insisted that he make out with a girl. Ray was making out with a chick that was Chris's girlfriend. And my buddy Snake caught him and said, I will go tell Chris if we don't make out right now. And Ray handed the girl over to Snake and watched him make out the love of his life.
Can't believe this could have been my boyfriend.
I know, this could have been your future.
Is that true,
Teresa?
Ray?
Absolutely true. Snake drunk and stinking and just going at it.
And Ray's like, honey, start making out. Chris was at the same party, you understand, right? Snake was drunk and would have gone in the party and screamed and would have torn the place down otherwise. So Ray did
that's the weekend I dislocated his shoulder, too.
They ended up getting into a fist fight with the Snake anyway. But the point, it dislocated his shoulder when he pulled a knife on him. But the point is he got to make out. I will tell the story of almost burning down my first girlfriend's house with wax that you use to remove eyebrow hair. I'll tell the story about me doing a flip in a door frame and landing on my head. Oh, man. It just keeps going and going and going, my Catholic little brother stuff. Yes. But this is Dave Damashek's favorite, so I'm gonna tell it. And Ray weaves in at a certain point here. I'm going to put Ray on hold because his line's a little fuzzy, but I'll bring him in as necessary. I went to, I guess it'd be sort of a makeout party. I had a couple of buddies, Jackie and Terry, and they had a couple of gals, and there was another gal for me, and somebody's folks were out of town. I was living out of the house. I must have been 19 or 20. These guys were a year or two younger than me. Maybe they were 18 or 19 when I was 20, 21. Living in my apartment with my buddy Chris and the Wheeze over there in North Hollywood. And I just went, hey, so-and-so's out of town. Folks got a decent house up in the hills. We're going to go up there and raid the liquor cabinet. Hopefully we'll all make out and get it on. This is going to be awesome. So I went out there. And Dave handed me a note that said, explain DTR, which is don't tell Ray. Ray screwed up so many parties. Ray would go to parties and, you know, you'd throw people in the, Ray would throw people in the pool and they'd yell, please just let me take my leather shoes off and my wallet out before you throw them in the pool. And Ray would toss them in the pool and then the wallet and the shoes would go right after them. So eventually, only way we could get to go to parties is if Ray didn't go to the parties, because people would explain to us, if Ray shows up, none of you are getting in. So we used to have DTR parties. And Ray would find out, and it was the only time I really saw his feelings hurt. You know, he'd say, what are you guys doing Saturday? And we'd go, oh, we're going to a party. And he'd go, great. And we'd go, DTR. Oh. Ray, you did hate the DTR parties, did you not?
Well, yeah. In fact, I'm hurt thinking about it
right
now.
Don't tell Ray. It's names of parties. Had their own names. All right, so the point is I go to this makeout party. It's just three or four people. I got my girl. Of course, the other two chicks are hot, and I get the fat, crazy one. Man, I'm not interested. There's not enough booze in the old man's liquor cabinet to make me interested. So while my buddies adjourn to the separate bedrooms and are happily getting it on with their hot young chicks, I'm just watching ESPN 5 in the den and getting drunk. Eventually, I decide it's time to leave. So I'm going to leave my buddies behind and just go home. Once again, drunk and defeated. I get up and I start heading out the front door. She wants to know where I'm going, but I say, I'm going to call tonight. She was batty. That part I do remember clearly. I start heading down the stairs. Well, as I start heading down the stairs outside the house, up come the stairs, hooligans. Guys look like gangbangers and a mixed breed, kind you only see in the movies. You know, had the Japanese guy and the black guy and the Mexican guy all running in the same group. And they're all coming up the stairs as I'm coming down the stairs. And it's literally the kind of thing where it's, excuse me, fellas, I got to get by. She says from the top of the stairs, he hit me.
What?
And she points at me.
Just because you were leaving.
I think what it is I had maybe embarrassed her because it was a makeout party and I did not deem her makeoutable. I would rather just go home, cut my losses, and call the night. So she says that. Of course, these guys who are tough guys, and there's plenty of them, all sort of get around. What are you doing hitting a girl? What are you doing? I didn't do anything. I'm getting out of here. They start up. I explain. I want no trouble. I had knee surgery. I had arthroscopic knee surgery 3 or 4 days earlier.
ACL?
Yes, and I had still stitches in my knee.
DTR.
Now, I'll tell you, it's the greatest commercial you could ever give for this, because I was up on my feet and feeling good just 3 or 4 days later, but I still had stitches in my knee. So I tried to get past these guys, and they kept with it. And eventually I said to them, listen, fellas, and maybe this was my problem, because I was a little bit drunk. I said, I'd love to fight, but I can't. I just got knee surgery, and, you know, Doc says no street fights. And the one guy piped up.
You got a note.
The one guy says, I'm gonna break your other knee, was his exact words
answer
to me. And I said, all right, well, now it's on. So then there's this stupid Marcus of Queensberry thing where I'm like, all right, if your 4 or 5 hooligan friends promise to stay out of this, me and the scary Mexican guy will go out in the street and square off, but you guys need to back out. Now I have your words as gentlemen, right? Because he's bigger than I am. He's scarier than I am. I'm sure he'll beat me up. So let's just go out and do this. But you guys promise to stay out of the fray, right? Okay. So we go out in the street and we just start. We start fighting like some movie.
And you're had adrenaline.
And you're encircled by all the rogues. Yes.
Yeah. They're standing around and they're giving me and this guy, their tough guy, space to duke it out in the street in front of this nutty broad's house up in the Laurel Canyon Hills. So we're doing it and I'm beating the guy up. at the time, I was doing a little kickboxing, and it's all coming back to me, you know. And this guy's just a big drunken buffoon. And I whack him around a few times, and I punch him one time, and he just falls back into the group, and he never comes back out again. And now, this is probably problem number two. I start with the verbal taunts now.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know, 5 minutes ago, you're begging to fight. Well, here I am, and now this is it. This is all you got. I barely broke sweat. My adrenaline's going. I'm shouting this guy down, calling him a puss and everything. Next thing you know, I feel a stinging in my right shoulder. It's a beer bottle being broken on me. Not swung at me, thrown at me. Beer bottle, empty beer bottle thrown at me, and it just explodes on my right shoulder. Doesn't cause a cut, doesn't tear
impossible.
My shirt.
Impossible.
You know, 100 times, 99 times, it's going to, you know, leave a gash, or it's not going to break. It's going to leave a bruise, or it's going to break your collarbone. It just hits in just such a way where it just explodes. No glass hits me in the eye or the face. I'm perfectly fine. It's just a beer. It's like you took a beer bottle and just threw it against a brick wall. All luck, but I'm fine. And then I feel a baseball bat on my left knee.
Oh.
Now, the right knee just had the surgery.
Right.
It was the left knee that the guy had. He didn't know which knee. I assume he thought he was getting the one that had surgery. But a full swing from a baseball bat, he came up behind me and swung at my knee. Now, he hits just above the knee on the meaty part of the thigh, and he hits me from behind. So about all I do is curtsy. I mean, if you could give a guy one place to take a swing at you with a baseball bat, it would be the meaty part of your thigh just above your knee. And he took a full swing. But again, just as luck would have it, just like the beer bottle, it did nothing to me. Well, now these guys thought I was like on PCP or something.
They think you're
like
a superhero.
Right. We just
super hit the brow.
We break bat. We hit the guy with the bat. We hit the guy with the bottle. He just beats up our tough Mexican friend. So what a lot of guys would have done is just turn tail at that point, but they decided to all jump on me at that point. So after the beer bottle and the bat didn't work, then they all converged on the Ace Man, and then they began pummeling me. Eventually, I sort of broke free.
That's what I was going to say. Were you for a moment, you were obscured by the massive, and then you burst up like the Matrix.
They went flying.
They all flew away.
I actually ran. Unlike the Matrix, one of the guys.
Well, it was a fat or flight response.
Yes, the guy. Few of them popped me. Unclear who popped me in the mouth, but my lip got cut on my prodigious molars, and blood was going all over my conveniently white button-up shirt and everything. It was just bleeding all over the place, but I still felt fine. And now I wanted the brother man. There was a black guy in the group who did hit me with the uppercut. So me and him then squared off in some kind of crazy kung fu theater because he evidently had some training.
Uh-oh.
To the point where he was doing okay against me when eventually some neighbor came out and called the cops or whatever it is. It all broke up. And I went home and I had blood all over my shirt and I was all effed up and I staggered into my apartment and there was Ray and there was Chris. And what the hell happened after that, Ray?
We just saw you and we were like in disbelief and asking what the hell happened. And you gave us the lowdown and Chris and I headed up.
That's what
we
friends do.
I like
Ray
that.
And Chris went up and they were PO'd and they went right up to the house and they busted in and the guys were still there probably trying to make time with my crazy fat chick. And one of them pulled a knife on my buddy Chris and he busted it.
He grabbed Chris Bohm grabs the knife out of the guy's hands and breaks it in half in front of the guy and throws it at him. And then Ray, what did you do?
I just gagged right, you know, haste, went after him, chased everybody.
So, yeah, these, but Ray and Chris are both more animal than man, especially at 19 or 20. So now the rest of the story goes that the guy who hit me, do you remember the guy's name who hit me with the bat, Ray?
Terry Mosier, I think.
That's the guy's name. Terry Mosier. I said, who, what kind of animal, after I announce I've had knee surgery, would come up behind me and take a swing at me with a baseball bat in my knee? So I wanted to kill this guy, and so did Ray, and so did Chris, but we could never find the guy. And it was New Year's. It was my buddy Umgad's house. Yes. Umgad Abu Zamzam.
In the end, do you wish you had just made out with the fat, crazy girl?
I should have just taken my lumps with her rather than with the bat. But we found him, or I shouldn't say we found him. It was New Year's, And I don't know if it was a year later or 2 years later, but it was at a New Year's party, and I was hooking up very rarely. I know this sounds like a macho story. I didn't fight that much. I didn't hook up with too many chicks. Just story just happens to connect my few islands of making out and fighting. Hooked up with a chick named Dominique, who for some reason always had it bad for me and was kind of hot. And we were in the bathroom during this party over at Umgad's house. And it was, you know, a sort of R-rated thing. You know, no nudity, but we were macking out in the bathroom with the door shut. And there was a pounding at the door. And who was it? Well, it was Ray pounding on the door. Ray, leave me alone. I'm right in the middle of something here. Adam, get out here, buddy. I got something to show you. What? Ray, leave me alone. I'm sporting wood. Get out. Come out now. I come out. He's got Terry Mosier in a headlock.
Wow.
He found.
And you had a bat, but it was in your pants.
That's right. He found him at the party a year or so later. Found me in the bathroom and then dragged him literally in a headlock over to the bathroom and started beating on the door until I came out. And then it was like, what are we going to do with him, boss?
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
Did it involve duct tape?
I do, Ray, I do appreciate that. All the horrible things I say about you, but that kind of loyalty. Where are you going to get that kind of loyalty?
Prison loyalty, yes.
Yeah. It was like big game hunting. I was so happy when he mentioned his name. I heard him talking to somebody. My name's Terry. Terry what? Terry Mosier. I got him.
He didn't even know Ray. He was at a party.
No, I just heard him. I heard him talking. He was mentioning his name.
The guy suddenly finds himself in a headlock and being dragged up a flight of stairs.
Now he knocks on the door.
Absolutely.
And yes. What'd you guys do to him?
I was like, I was disoriented. I was drunk and had wood. I was first mad at Ray. What are you doing? And then secondly, oh my God, this is the guy who hit me with the bat. But the poor guy was pleading for his life because in his mind's eye, this was the guy he hit with the bat and it made him angry. This is the guy who beat up his two toughest friends. And this is the guy who got hit with the bottle and seemed to be fine with it. So I had superhuman strength in his mind. Also, Ray was no cream puff either. Ray's the guy who showed up at the house and started throwing him around. So the guy just started pleading with his life. It was New Year's and I turned the page, so we just let him go. That I remember from...
That's a marvelous story, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I envy that sort of machismo.
It ain't over.
Oh, part three.
There's a small addendum to it, which is then... Oh, my God. Must have been like 7, 8 years after this. I'm living in a crappy apartment in North Hollywood with my stripper girlfriend, and I've decided to sell my Nissan Mini truck. My mini pickup truck, and I'm out front waiting for people to come, for scary foreigners who picked up the recycler to come meet me out in front of the apartment. I'm just standing there in my shorts. It's a hot day, and here comes the world's most yoked, buff, scariest looking Mexican guy, and he's moving in to the apartment building. And I give him the, hey, just moving in? Uh-huh. Well, welcome to the building, neighbor. It was a smallish building, probably at about 12 units. I'm up at 13B up there. And he's like, okay. And I thought, wow, this guy's scary. I better get on his good side. And he's moving in. I'm just standing out front with my truck. And after a few minutes, as he's walking back and forth to the moving truck, he goes, don't I know you? And I said, I don't think so. I don't know. Where you play any Pop Warner football? No. Just, what'd you play? I played Little League over at Toluca Lake, Little League. No, it's not that. I don't know. You went to North Hollywood High? No. I don't know. We fought, man.
Oh, I was like, no.
What? Yeah. So we fought out in the street. When was that? It's about 9 years ago.
Like,
you're moving into my village? The guy's been doing nothing but creatine shakes ever since we fought out in the street. I was like, oh, my God. But I realized he was scared of me because I was the madman who got hit with the bat and the bottle and it didn't bother him. So he was clearly scared of me, but it was weird. He brought it up to me, and he was not. It wasn't forgive and forget. We didn't have a laugh about it. He was just like, okay, that's right. And we went into the building. I moved out several weeks later, and the story continues. So there it is, full circle. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome. He was still scared of you.
Well, maybe that was it, but at that point, he'd put on 50 pounds of muscle, and I was now frightened of him. All right, Ray, thank you for corroborating my story.
That was a good story.
Thanks, buddy.
I know Ray doesn't like it when we play the monkey sound. when he comes on, he's offended by that.
He takes umbrage to
but
it.
But I want to give that story two opposable thumbs up. Sorry, Ray.
Well, there's one down, and there's only another 45 to go. So we'll be going through those.
The bar is high.
And the good news is
bar.
As I've said before, like how they paint the Golden Gate Bridge, by the time we get to the last story, it's time
Start
to
over.
Retell this one. Yeah. All right, Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN.com. He's in for another installment of something we call Basic Cable Classics. Red Dawn is the latest movie he's going to review. We'll do that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam, Dave, and ESPN.com's Bill Simmons review another Basic Cable Classic. This week's movie, Red Dawn. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome, Bill Simmons, the sports guy.
Good to be here.
Quickly, some unfinished business.
Yeah.
Tiffany says she used to date Terry Mosier, the guy who hit me with the baseball bat. Oh. Tiffany?
Yeah?
What's happening?
He was out in the valley.
Yeah. Well, that's where my knee was when he hit it with his bat.
I know. I heard. No, he's out in the valley, I think, like, what's that past Sagebrush? Like Thousand Oaks or something? He's married with a couple kids.
Wow. Hope he's teaching them how to use a softball bat on other human beings.
Tiffany, was he sweet to you?
Oh, he is. You know what? He is hilarious, and he's one of the sweetest, nicest guys in the world.
Did he ever tell you about the time he hit me with a bat?
No, Terry has crazy stories.
Yeah.
Crazy stories.
Well, when did you date him? I mean, didn't, like, the guys ever sit around and the man show came on and he was like, hey, I think I attacked that guy with a bat once.
No, he had plenty of fighting stories, but I don't think they involved you. I don't know.
When did you guys...
You weren't on the radio then, I don't think. I don't know where you were.
Eight years ago,
but we're still best friends.
Mm-hmm. You and the bat, or you and Terry?
Terry.
All right.
Well, Terry and I.
Well, tell him to call. He owes me an apology. He owes my orthopedic surgeon an apology, actually.
I'll tell him. He's a captain out there flying private jets.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, these are the guys. These are the guys now that are captaining the airplanes, that are the principals of the schools.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Tiffany is an easy laugh. She's almost like Lycus.
All right, Tiffany. So, but he told you a lot of stories about fighting and past crazy behavior.
Tons of stories, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
Well, all including alcohol.
All right. Well, it does fit. Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah. I'll give you a shout.
Thanks.
Ace, if that happened to you now, he would probably be suing you.
That's right.
Because your knee hit his bat.
It's a good, it's a good point.
Remember, like, with Barkley, he got attacked by five guys and ended up defending himself, and he got sued for, like, $4 million?
It was a simpler time. Yeah. Yes, I mean, can you imagine the lawsuits? Oh, but not to mention him, I'd probably then countersue him for, in fact, attacking me with a baseball bat. I guess even during the time, I probably could have got some legal representation to back me up. But anyway,
while you settle matters with your fists, Simmons and I do it the old-fashioned way in fantasy football. We settled our score just last night.
That's right.
Damashek got the better of Simmons.
Yeah.
Bill, fairy tale to come in here.
Bill Simmons and our own Dave Damashek compete against each other weekly in the Fairy Tale Football League. Bill does know quite a bit about football. Tell us some of your thoughts on the opening of the season, by the way.
Actually, I thought the story of the weekend was last night, the Raiders, Art Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes a big deal. Now, Art Shell is somebody they already had as their coach who was terrible and they fired.
Right.
And then 15 years pass. And everybody forgets that he was terrible. They bring him back. It's like, oh, yeah, old-time Raiders football. This guy's great. He's a disciplinarian. It's like, this guy was terrible 15 years ago. So he comes back. They make a big deal about it. They get shut out on Monday night, 27-0. They show him the entire second half. And it started to look, one of my readers pointed out, it started to look like the scene in Speed where they keep looping over the shot of the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the same shot. It's just Art Shell with his arms crossed with a headset on. He's listening to people. You don't know what he's listening to.
He looked like a crazy homeless guy is what he looked like. It looked like his name should be Grady. And
yeah. Grady.
Yes, the people that hire the people that weren't any good before are right up there with the guys that remarry for the third time the same woman.
That, yeah.
Remember, you got the divorce in 89 because she was cheating on you in nuts? Perhaps you should factor that into this decision.
And then the weird thing is, I was legitimately the only writer who pointed out, like, well, wait a second, this guy failed before. And then I get these emails, you're a racist. You don't want a black coach to see it. I don't care what color he is. The guy's terrible.
That's right.
It's not my fault.
That's right. So long as he doesn't coach the Patriots, he doesn't care what color the coach is. I understand. It's same with Steve. Just replace Patriots with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I understand you guys aren't racist. Also, I was talking to someone about Warren Sapp, and I thought, geez, it seems like 10 years since this guy has had a good season, and we forget that it was just 3 years ago, plus that we flew him over via a helicopter to do Jimmy Kimmel's
right.
first show.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was, I don't know if he was defensive player of the year, but he just got done winning the Super Bowl, going to a Pro Bowl. When's the last time you ever heard Warren Sapp's name even mentioned? Seems
right.
like he's been out of the league for 3 years. Like, it literally is the black hole, the Raider Nation. They play in the black hole. It is the black hole. People go there. You never hear from them.
It used to be
again.
The place people would go, and it would rejuvenate their careers.
Right.
These outlaws would resurface.
Sapp, Randy Moss. I mean, these guys seem like they're not in the league anymore.
Right.
Yeah, poor Randy Moss. It was almost like he entered a witness protection program. Or
I know.
This guy used to be like one of the top five stars in the league, and now it's like you can't even remember what
he
team
looks
he's on.
Good, though.
Looks
you
good.
You got to admit,
the
afro plus the little socky on his head now.
Ace, you actually had my favorite observation of the weekend at Jimmy's house, because we were talking about how hard it is with these red flags for some of the fatter coaches to run out and get the refs' attention.
Had some trouble over the weekend. The refs are turned with their back to the sideline, and these guys don't have enough arm.
So Ace came up with the idea, the t-shirt cannon from basketball games.
Oh, yeah.
You have the ref bring out the t-shirt cannon and shoot it at the ref.
Plus, the crowd would go nuts.
I love it.
Even if they showed it on the Diamond Vision and the guy was clearly in bounds, fire the cannon! They'd all go nuts. You'd fire it straight up into the air or fire it at a ref. Get down and have the offensive line coach tap you on the shoulder like you had a bazooka. Go! Yeah, smack you on the head.
Just well, it'd be funny to see just Parcells trying to load it, like turning it on, like trying to aim it.
Crowd would go insane. It would fire it right out in the middle of the field. It would be great. You do it in a little parachute with an army man on it. It just flutters down with a flare on it.
Either that or the coach should be allowed to sprint on have somebody hire them to sprint on the field, like Carl Lewis, somebody like that, and just whip it at the ref's face would be my other.
Either way, I think my t-shirt cannon's more practical.
Well, and more fun.
Yes.
More fun for the fans, a little interactive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about Red Dawn.
Yeah, that's right.
Now.
Wait, we got an opening here.
Or not.
That was awesome.
Here it is. Here we go.
Basic Cable Classic.
There we go. Thank you.
Wow.
1984's Red Dawn.
High
worth
production
the
values.
Couple starters for this. Now, when you TiVo something on TiVo,
yes,
they have the little synopsis of the movie, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
For Red Dawn, Colorado teens fight back after Soviet-led paratroops drop into town for World War III.
Yeah.
That's the synopsis.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because I couldn't rent this yesterday. I couldn't find it, so I went to Best Buy to buy it. Going to the action section. Not there. Now I'm panicking. I'm like, where am I going to get Red Dawn? I noticed the war section. Red Dawn right next to Platoon and
really?
Saving Private Ryan.
Born on the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the great war movies of our time, Red Dawn.
Next time you want to find Red Dawn, you just go to Damashek's apartment. And you open the door, and an avalanche of Red Dawn CDs or DVDs just pour out. I was buried and carried down the street by them.
It's just a small part of my Powers booth wall.
Now, this movie came out in 84. It's pretty dated. I mean, you could make the case it probably cost about $10,000 to make. It's basically a camping movie with a couple explosions.
Yeah.
But Soviet paratroopers land in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. We're not sure how they get there. How we didn't pick them up, how the NORAD missed them.
Right.
Million parachuters. Somehow they got helicopters over from Russia. We're not sure how that happened.
Yeah.
Cuban. Cuba and Nicaraguans, they're involved.
They've hooked up with South and Central America and Cuba, and now they're all against us.
And they've decided that this small town in Colorado is where they have to drop the bulk of the Soviet army, too, some reason.
Because if they can control this rural Colorado town, then America will fall afterwards.
Yeah, so once they get hold of bum-F Colorado and Plentywood, Montana, then the rest of the nation falls.
Right.
That's how it works.
So a couple of the high school kids... The Wolverines is the name of the school, but Swayze and Chaz Sheen are brothers, which I think is funny because they're not the same size. They look nothing like, the different color hair.
Right.
Them and C. Thomas Howe, a couple other people, go in the woods with some ammunition
to escape. Yeah.
They take off.
Mm-hmm.
And now somehow they know how to use machine guns. We're not sure how that leap happens, where they somehow know how to suddenly be soldiers. That's never really properly explained.
Well, they went hunting with the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a few times growing up, so they know all about heavy artillery.
Yeah. Now, what is our first clip?
Our first clip is most of the people in the town are held in these little mini concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
and even though they're hiding in the woods, and the KGB is allegedly looking for them, they decide it's a good idea maybe to go down to the concentration camp and see their father.
They're very casual about moseying into town and then going back.
Nobody's
up to the
gonna
hills.
Notice them.
No.
And their dad, played by Harry Dean Stanton, who's gunning for the Oscar in this clip, and here it is.
Let me look at you. Yeah, I knew I was right. I knew it. You're alive. I was tough on both of you. And I did things that made you hate me sometimes.
Yeah, dry anal rape.
But you understand now, don't you?
Well, you understand now.
Understand.
He foresaw the attack of the Soviets.
I knew one day the Soviets and the Cubans would hook up and send paratroopers to your high school, and that's why I was rough on you. Yeah, I wonder what my dad's excuse is.
Yeah. Maybe your dad thought World War III was coming to Southern California.
Well, he's got to have some excuse.
Now, this quick one here is probably Sheck's favorite scene.
Uh-oh.
After Harry Dean tells the boys to be quiet and to kind of sneak out.
They're looking for you
everywhere.
They're
walking away.
Get out of here. Dead
silence.
They're
walking away, and Harry Dean, as they're walking away, screams.
Boys! Avenge me! Avenge me!
Yeah.
Hey, old man! Didn't you just say that they're looking everywhere, keep it down, and sneak out of town?
Yes.
Shut your yap, then!
Screaming into the chain-link fence, avenge me, with dogs barking
in the
background.
The Soviet soldiers, they don't notice this guy screaming, avenge me, and they don't think anything's up here.
Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN.com here, by the way, recapping Red Dawn for those of you who just tuned in. Yeah, we skipped past one of my favorite parts, too, where they're at the campfire, and Swayze's trying to bark out a few commands, and one of the guys yells, "You're not the quarterback anymore!" I love that.
I had that. And then they have the fight, and there's the campfire, and the legs kind of go in the campfire a little bit. It gets exciting. You think somebody might catch on fire, but they never do.
Swayze cried like 9 times in this movie, too.
And that's our next clip. You know, really one of the keys to the movie is Pat Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
The overacting. I don't think he's ever been better. Maybe he can maybe argue Ghost in terms of his overacting, but
Ghost for mugging, but for just all-out bawling, I'd say Red Dawn.
This is where they just saw their father and some other people gunned down,
mm-hmm.
and Swayze's telling everybody else that they got to keep their emotions in check.
Don't cry! Hold it back! Turn to something else. Just let it turn to something else, okay? Listen. Don't cry. Don't you ever cry again. As long as you live. As long as you live, never do it.
What a friend.
You hear me?
Now, the best part is Swayze then starts crying after that whole speech. But
let it turn to something else.
What does that mean?
He's saying, take that anger, take that pain, and turn it on the Soviets.
Right.
which they did because they mounted an offensive attack. I don't want to ruin it, but it is 22 years old. I think I can open my mouth at this point.
You know what's funny is Art Shell said the same thing to the Raiders at halftime last night.
Don't
they,
cry.
Let it turn into something else. Didn't turn into anything. Turned into a 27-0 loss.
Turned a couple more picks and a goose egg on the scoreboard.
Now, after this movie, a couple things happen. First of all, C. Thomas Howell starts smoking.
Yeah.
Which I guess signifies that he's kind of gone to the dark side and war is really getting to him because he's trying to smoke.
Became a man after he drank the yak's blood up in the hills. First kill, you know.
He drank that and then he said, wasn't so bad three times in a row.
That's right.
I don't know if you remember that scene. I almost made the clip section here. Anyway, Powers Booth shows up and we're not sure if he was planted by the Soviets or what the deal is. He's this fighter pilot who explains to them. And he goes to this whole thing about, here's what happened with the war. They hooked up with the Cubans and Nicaraguans. Mm-hmm. They made it all the way to Kansas. We held them off there. Like, it kind of explains, and it's ridiculous. It's like, really? We couldn't? So now Ace and I are going to reenact.
Oh,
yeah, there's going to be a reenactment.
I'm going to play the role. I'll be Powers Booth.
He is a tour de force in the picture and steals it, in my book. So you're going to really have to be up to muster on this.
And let me tell you something. Stealing Red Dawn is not that big of a task. But
so here's, and now you're playing.
I'm playing one of the other kids.
Sheen, Swayze, I can't remember what. Yeah, you're one of the kids. You're not, I don't think you're Swayze. I think I'm
not Swayze or Sheen. I'm one of the other guys who never went on and do anything.
And you want to know what's going on in the war.
I want to know. Well, who's fighting with us now?
Right.
So here we go. Well, who's on our side then?
About 600 million Chinese.
600 million? I thought there were a billion Chinese.
There were.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 400 million Chinese.
You channeled Booth.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You think you're tough because you eat beans?
He yells at these poor, scared teenagers who are living up in the mountain in the dead of winter fighting the Soviet army. They're sitting around just trying to survive on old cans of beans.
We have that.
Oh, we do.
Oh, we have it. Let's go to it.
I stepped on it. Sorry.
You think you're tough? Eating beans every day? There's 500,000 scarecrows in Denver would give anything for one mouthful of what you got. They've been under siege for about 3 months. They live on rats, sawdust bread, and sometimes on each other. At night, the pipes for the dead light up the sky. It's medieval.
Hey, what's for brunch, Dad? Sawdust bread, rats, and each other. Oh, fantastic.
He's yelling at these poor kids. But to be fair, Booth's character, the first thing he does when he shows up there is steal the kid's bottle of whiskey that the old man gave him to keep him warm through the winter months. He drinks the entire bottle sitting around the campfire.
And then does that thing at the end where he throws what's left of in his tin cup into the fire. And no one, you know, there's a lot, every time in a movie when someone throws something in a fire, no one reacts to it. Like they do that thing where they take a sip of the scotch and they go, and it flames up. And no one goes, hey, what the F? You caught my sweater on fire.
So when Booth joins the movie, the cast comes together. Now C. Thomas is firing that giant missile thing. Like somehow these guys know how to operate all this
stinger.
Stuff.
Yeah, he's taking down the Soviet helicopters.
They're fighting the Soviets. Yeah, they're taking down helicopters. And then one of the kids who also played the bad guy in The Outsiders decides to go to the concentration camp, sells them out, eats a bug.
Oh, it ate a bug. Yeah, they followed him, homing device. Yeah.
And they figure out that this guy has sold them out. And this is where Pat Swayze says, I'm going to take this movie to the next level.
I'm going
to
cry here.
Where is it? Where is it? God damn it, where's the bug?
They made me swallow it.
Daryl, what have you done?
I went into town.
Got caught. And went and got caught. Why?
Why Swayze won the Oscar.
And by the way, that was the take after the director told him to reel it in a little bit. He had bigger. It's just on the floor, the editing room. Yeah, this guy goes to town. They don't miss him, of course. He just walks out of the camp from the mountains.
Yeah,
goes
there's
down to
five
town.
Of them. They don't notice this guy's gone
eats a bug, and now the Soviets can find him.
Yeah.
Richly nuanced.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Did Swayze have to shoot him there?
Swayze kills him.
Ah.
And then
incorrect. C. Thomas Howe shoots him because Swayze couldn't
Swayze
muster
kills
the courage.
One. C. Thomas kills the other one. Yeah. And then it's down to basically Swayze and Sheen who decide, let's go into town and take on everybody all at once where there's no way we can die. And they both get shot and they die. And then the only people who made it were Leah Thompson and this other dude who we're not, he was kind of like a fringe member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he made it.
And well, Leah Thompson didn't survive celebrity duets, but she survived the war against the Russians?
No.
All I'm saying is before I'm gone, I want to do one movie where at some point I have to hold the gun up to my partner that betrayed me, thinking I should kill him, but I can't squeeze the trigger and hold it, and instead I just go, for a long time, holding the gun sideways, and then I drop the gun. Dave, maybe that'll be you.
I can only hope.
All right, Bill Simmons, a stellar job.
Thank you.
As per usual, ESPN.com is where you find Bill Simmons, the sports guy. Also, Now I Can Die in Peace is the name of his book. It's great. It's out. Go out. Pick that up. Just out in paperback, I hear. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with some Ask Kiss Rodeo after this.
Wolverines!
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I've finally been able to really, like, trust and have intimacy with somebody, which I've never been able to do. Like, a lot of guys, I just have a hard time getting really that connected. And with her, I can actually sleep with her in my arms, which is a big... Yeah, spoons position, right? Yeah, women smile. They love the spoons. Yeah. Men, rather, fork. Forking is, yeah.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Greg.
It's nice to have a little... audio intro like that.
I know as much as you love Def Rat Guy is as much as you hate the Ask Kiss Rodeo, but we're still going to play that in a few minutes. And perhaps if we brought you into the Rodeo Corral and you hung out with it, you wouldn't hate the bit as much.
You know what? Why don't I play the bit? Why don't I be a part of it?
All right.
You think you could try it?
Well, the thing is I've spent my life unemployed or slash a comedian because I couldn't do it. So this will be a real challenge for me. I'll try to see if I can do it.
Yeah, right. We're not playing it now, but we'll play it soon. People think that kissing ass is, you know, is the coward's way out. It's the way to go. People shouldn't know you're kissing their ass, but you should do it. It's the way to climb the corporate ladder. I'm going to teach my kids right away.
Yeah. For me, just burying the hatred is kissing ass.
I like Greg Fitzsimmons because he's haunted. He's a tough Irishman who was telling us during the break he's got his nose broken, orbital socket broken.
Yeah,
he's been beat up many times, and that's just by family members.
Yeah, me and my brother, Irish twins, 13 months apart, and alcoholic father, and my brother was hyperactive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good combination right there.
Yeah, you know, I used to think before I had kids, I thought, oh, it'd be nice to have a couple of boys. I think a lot of men think that way. And then I started watching my nephews beating the F out of each other.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, you see the little girls that are sitting and playing with their dollies, and you go, oh, these two are playing tee over here, and these two are teeing off on each other's skulls over here.
Yeah. Now, once you have children, it's hands down you want a girl. I imagine until they hit puberty, and then you want to, you know, go on the road for about 4 years.
Right. Well, I'm going to trade the girl in for a dude once we hit puberty, so I'll have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's a good way to go. You're talking sex change or an actual physical exchange?
Gender reassignment, we call it, at the Corolla house. I'll decide that it's a 13-year-old girl trapped inside a 13-year-old boy's body, and I'll have it swapped out.
Like Middlesex.
Dr. Drew do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Penis came out of her vagina when she hit about 14, and she didn't know what it was, and she looked close, and it was a small penis. She was a hermaphrodite.
Oh, really?
That's the ideal child.
Wasn't just her stepdad on top of her?
No, it was faced out.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where were we? That's right.
So we fought a lot. My brother, I lost my virginity to, I shouldn't say I lost it. I know where it is. It's in Linda Rizzo.
Yeah.
I lost it.
You left it there.
Linda Rizzo was like the town slut. I shouldn't say her last name on the air, should I?
I think it's a little late for Linda Rizzo.
Well, it's New York, so I don't think we get that. Does the show come out of New York?
No.
Nope.
Fine.
So she was a slut.
But if she has a computer, she can stream it.
She wasn't a slut. She was a nice girl who, you know, probably was abused as a, by her father or something. And so we took advantage of that.
Yeah.
So my friend had sex with her, and then I heard that he had sex with her and lost his virginity. He was my best friend. And so I said, well, there's an opening. You know, mm-hmm. I guess they pulled the goalie. I'm
sure.
In.
Sure. Open net.
So I'm hanging out with my friend Johnny Trouble one night. And we just would stand on the corner, and any car that would drive by, if we knew somebody, we just hoped they'd pick us up, because we were, like, you know, 15. Mm-hmm. And they picked us up. We bought some cheap... Mary Blood and Linda Rizzo picked us up in this old Camaro. Mm-hmm. And we bought a bottle of rum, went to the power lines where you can pull off the road, raining out, standing
what
in the mud.
What town are we in?
Tarrytown, New York.
Okay. What year are we in?
Seems like 1980.
We're in the 40s.
1980.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You buy a bottle of rum, you pull off the road.
Well, it was World War II. And then it's pull off the road.
You with Mary and Linda.
Cab Calloway's on the radio, and we're just, you know, swinging.
And it's during the whole meat, sugar and meat rationing era, so.
Right. You gave her a pair of nylons.
That's
hey,
right.
What a girl would do for a pair of nylons back then, scratch the tin off of her chewing gum to give it to the boys.
It's our last night before we ship out.
22 Skidoo. So you're going to explain the Onion Field murders to us now?
So now I'm having sex with Linda Rizzo on the hood.
Because you're about to go off to war.
While Johnny Trouble is having sex with Mary Blood on the back. And this is me losing my virginity. And
on
my
the
feet
hood of the car.
At an end. Mud. And so then we just got flashed. Does that mean I'm being dirty?
And then we.
Okay.
Oh. Wow. Doesn't
can
seem
I say
raunchy.
It on its own?
Yep.
Ah, no
I
flash.
Guess, I guess you can say it.
And can you say falling out?
So that's what Cousin It really was.
Yes.
So anyway, then my brother had sex with Linda the following week.
Really?
And that upset me. And we were playing pool in this Irish bar downtown that would let anybody in. I mean, I was 15, and we were drinking dollar drafts.
Right.
Because the bartender was gay. He was from Ireland. And he'd let anyone drink there because he had an apartment upstairs. And then he'd get you drunk, and he'd say, you're too drunk to be going home. You'll sleep upstairs with me tonight.
And molest and then, you?
Well, no, we never did it. We would always leave. But his hope was that one day one of us would go up there and he could diddle us, I would imagine.
Anyone can dream.
So I find my friend tells me in the bar that my brother had sex with Linda Rizzo. So it was my turn to shoot. So he handed me the stick, and I broke it over his head. And then that's when he cracked my eye bone with a pool ball. And
orbital socket. Did he throw it at you?
Now held it.
Held it.
Through.
Hit you in the head.
Held on to it. Didn't release.
Power move.
And then I punched him once in the nose, and then it was over. And the beautiful thing is, in my family, we sat at the dinner table the next night, and with bandages and swelling, and my father, not a word,
nothing,
just
drunk,
just eating. It just happens.
He didn't ask, hey, why do you have a broken eye lobe?
This was the 1940s.
You're
right. I understand. It was a different time. He'd just sit there eating his Lucky Charms with his Jameson poured over it.
And, that's right.
And that was
spilling his tea into the saucer and drinking it straight out of it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you these old stories. Flappers, the old hairstyles they'd wear back then.
Oh, I'll tell you, the Dodgers back then.
They knew how to make an automobile. One that really could hold up a fat girl. You know what I mean? Today's imports, you'll dent the hood.
That
you throw a fat town slut on the hood of it. But not the old American muscle. They knew how to make a car.
Well, we glossed over that, but that's not easy standing up for your first time.
We need to take a break. I understand you two had something special, you know. You banging her on the hood of your Nova and all, and I could understand why you're mad at your brother for taking a shot at that.
It's one thing when your buddy did it the week before, but when your brother does it the week after, that's totally
blood.
Different.
Yeah. We need to take a break. Greg.
No, not Mary Blood. This was...
No, Mary Blood was on the back.
Right, I'm sorry.
Greg Fitzsimmons in studio. He'll be at the Tempe Improv telling these stories and more, I'm sure. We'll be back with some Ask Kiss Rodeo, 866-901-ADAM. Play, and then you can play for $1,000 in San Diego Thursday night. We'll talk to you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to dust off some Ass Kiss Rodeo. Don't know how to play? Kick back and check out the civilian champion, Zach from Las Vegas.
I'm a Coke man. How say you, Zach?
Someone with your impeccable taste, of course, would like Coke. It's the drink of champions, and I'd expect someone of your caliber to drink nothing less but the best.
On the other hand, I like Pepsi better.
With your impeccable taste and your sophisticated palate, it's only necessary that you change up the taste to keep it fresh for yourself.
Wow.
Think you got what it takes? Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Ask His Rodeo is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Greg Fitzsimmons in studio from VH1's Best Week Ever. Great show, 11 o'clock Friday nights.
Premiering. New season premiering Friday.
Well, I hope it goes on for 1,000 years because I cannot turn that show off. Also going to be at the Tempe, Arizona Improv this Thursday through Sunday. Go to GregFitzsimmons.com for more information. You have two Emmys because you
four.
Wrote... Well, you have two. Sorry, Your Highness. Some of us don't have any. You have two for writing for the Ellen DeGeneres Show. She's going to host the Oscars.
Yeah, how about that?
I feel like she's a colossal coos. I think she's funny. I think she does what she does very well, but I happen to know she's evil behind closed doors. And I knew it about Rosie because too saccharine sweet on stage, too much dancing, too much cutie patootie equals conniving C behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What
say you, Greg?
Oh, I say, according to Clause 16A in my contract, nothing. That's what
I say.
That
do you want to say, now you can say Ellen's Ellen, and we'll do the math.
We know what that means.
That Ellen's Ellen?
Yes. You just did
If you ask me about Adam, and I say, go ahead, try it.
What's Adam really like?
Listen, Adam's Adam. That means...
I think you got to search a little bit more.
Yeah, okay,
you
got
to search for it.
You do it like this. Watch, Greg, ask me what I think of the team here.
What do you think of your team?
Dance Monkey, that's right. What do you think of the team? Well, you know, Brian does a yeoman's job over there on the sound effects. Never hear a complaint out of him. Damashek. I mean, the only thing better than his sports is, you know, hanging out with him off the air. And, you know, Bruska's Bruska. That means he's an a-hole and I'm being nice.
Well How done. Do I get that?
Well done. So now you
I didn't
see,
want Teresa to cry.
No, the thing is, Ellen is...
Ellen?
Ellen.
So different behind the scenes. Mm.
Well, what are the scenes,
well,
really,
not,
Adam?
Not
what
as
are
much
the shadows on the cave wall? What's real?
Not as much dancing back in the writer's room, perhaps. Doesn't boogie down quite as much with the writers?
God, it's so long ago, I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on Lucky Louie for the last year, and that went well this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you guys watch
go?
It?
Mm-hmm. Into it.
Is Louie Louie?
Louie's Louie.
It's a good song, too.
Louie's Louie.
I think it's pretty darn funny.
You have four Emmys, two from Ellen, and what are the other two?
No, all four from Ellen.
Oh.
I was a producer and a writer, okay. So you get the double dip when you get the best show Emmy and the best writers
right.
get the Emmy.
So four Emmys.
It's a lot of hardware.
And still Ellen's Ellen.
Ellen's
ungrateful pig.
Ellen is... Ellen's Ellen.
I understand.
Okay, you just nailed it.
All right. Do you think you'll be asked to help her punch up her Oscars stuff?
Oh, I'm hoping to get a fax number. Maybe I can jot down some funny thoughts and just fax them in.
I see.
You know, try to help out. Just be part of the team.
Like I do with Leno?
Sure.
Oh, Christ, did I say that out loud? All right, Greg, we're going to do your favorite game, a little Ass Kiss
Rodeo.
I'm going to try it.
I'm putting the leather strap around my hand right now.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Again, you do well, and we'll see you in San Diego Thursday night where you can win $1,000 courtesy of Playboy Television. Yes, Prescott?
That's right. Playboy TV with Jesse Jane, Night Calls, ponied up $1,000. So if you're in San Diego Thursday night between 6 and 10 when we're there, you can be winning $1,000. We're trying to get a finalist right now.
Let me just say that yesterday was amateur hour. You know, the best we did was about a C+.
Right.
And I think people forget the fact that the cardinal rule is it's always about Adam. We don't need me, myself, and I to be mentioned in your ass kissing.
Right.
It's always about Adam.
Any other tips? Dave?
I think that's the cardinal rule.
Unless
you start there.
You know, Adam has been really good for me. Myself, I love Adam.
Yeah, you can do
that?
You can do
that.
You can talk to me. Well, like a lot of people talk about Jesus.
Right.
But they're bringing Jesus' name up, but they're also blowing the old man's horn, too.
Right.
Sean?
Yes, I'm here.
You ready to go?
I am ready to go. I've been waiting so long to hear your wonderful voice. You're so sweet and great.
Well, I'll do one for Greg, see if we can curry a little favor with him. I love having sex, especially on the hood of a Nova.
I have heard so much about how great you are at sex, and it's so not even surprising that you would be love to do it so much, Adam. You are such a dynamo and dynamic human being.
Wow. I love the feeling of the warm mud squishing through my bare feet as I'm getting it on with a young town slut.
You would love that because in your mind you're so smart and you have so in touch with your feelings and thoughts that warm mud should just be happy it can touch your feet.
On the other hand, I feel like sex is a place that's probably, sex should be kept to the bedroom. I feel like I don't want to have any young kids see my bare ass out in public.
The bedroom, the car of the hood, you are great in every place that you go. Why even decide, Adam? Mm-hmm. You in the bedroom. I've read so much about you and know so much about you that you in the bedroom, your wife, she is just the most luckiest person in the world that she can even see you.
Technically, that last point was a disagreement. You said, I only believe in sex in the bedroom, and she said, no, you should have it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's, there was also most luckiest.
Disagreeing.
Yeah.
There's also car of the hood.
The grammar was a little bumpy, and you wove in my wife. I like to pretend I'm single. You know that. Honey, if you're listening, you know.
I did my best. That's all I could. You're the best, so all I could.
All right. All right, Sean. I'll tell you what. You're from San Diego.
Yes.
You're on the bubble. And obviously, you're female. We have a lot of, this is turned into a schlong fest as of late. For some reason, guys are good at Ass Kiss Rodeo. So I like you just because of your gender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll put you on hold, but we'll keep moving here. Let's see. I want to talk. We got people calling from Palm Springs. Well, that's close enough to San Diego. Let's talk to Brandon. Brandon?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Now, are there penalty points for getting homoerotic on a male Ass Kiss?
Reverse, I think.
You know what? There are no rules. If it works, it works.
Yeah, it's all
like,
gut.
Yeah, it's like you have to be like a great chef. I'm not going to tell you what to put in your stew, but I will taste it and tell you either it tastes good or it doesn't.
It came up yesterday, and I for
it
one,
worked.
Say yay.
It worked well, but you're right. It's a case by case.
Okay.
All right. Bush's speech last night, I watched it. I thought he did a good job with it.
I agree with you. I think he did a real good job with it, too. You know, he got his point across how he felt about everything, you know?
I didn't hear my name in that.
Yeah. No one cares if you agree. It's assumed you agree.
If you were to give a speech, it would sound
better. Wow.
Sure.
Knocked off the Bronco.
Wow.
Yeah.
He changed horses there.
Ass Kiss Hindsight 2020, but that's it. You don't get a chance. That's the whole thing. You don't. That ass may never come through town again.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an ass.
Not like Linda
down.
Rizzo, where it's all over town.
That's right.
One more. Let's try one
all
more.
All right. Let's try. Let's see. I'll talk to Chris from San Diego. Chris.
Adam.
Ready to play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo?
Sure am.
Steve Irwin, Crocodile Hunter. Tragic. What happened to that man? So young.
Well, yeah. It takes a great person to have some compassion for someone else.
Good. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I let him float, and he withered in the sun.
I'd
give him another chance.
Personally,
too much.
Armchair quarterback. I would like to hear better him than Adam Carolla. You know, better.
Thank you,
better
David.
Can you give him another chance?
I'll give you another pass.
Thank you.
You ready?
Yeah.
I couldn't be more excited about the return of Monday Night Football. I watched the hell out of my TV last night.
Oh yeah, all the people who have interesting, you know, are interested in doing interesting things are watching that sort of stuff.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'll tell you why I don't want to see you out in San Diego Thursday night at 6 o'clock. I don't want to see you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you could get hurt out there. You know what I mean? This is like the coach letting his son start at outside linebacker. He's going to get hurt.
Yeah, now he needs to sit outside of the drugstore on the quarter.
That's
the quarter
right.
Ponies for a little while.
Yeah, that is not going to work. Well, so far we have no one to play Ask Us Rodeo with us.
Let's try one with Greg quick. Let's
see how well couldn't. I couldn't.
Let's
all
try.
Right, let's do Scott from San Diego. Scott?
Yep.
We'll play a little Ask Us Rodeo with Greg Fitzsimmons.
You better believe it. Me and the geniuses.
Here we go.
I just think that the death of Anna Nicole's son yesterday is it's heartbreaking. Kid never had a chance.
Wait, can I do a timeout here? Who am I? Whose ass am I kissing, Greg?
Wow.
You're kissing my white Irish ass. A little freckly, a couple scars on it.
Yeah.
Actually do have scars on it.
Well,
let me say it again.
I think in the gay world they call it rough trade. But let's keep moving. Scott?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Kiss Greg Fitzsimmons' scarred white ass.
All right. Absolutely.
You need a new topic? Are you okay with that one?
Can you go with whatever you want to go with?
All right. I just feel like Anna Nicole's had such a tough life, and now to lose a son the day she has a new child is just, it's so rough on her.
You know, it's amazing, Greg. You're just so sensitive. You tap into other people's feelings. You're empathizer. You just know are in touch with the world. It's amazing. It's great. That's why you're a great writer.
Mm. On the other hand, how funny is it that Anna Nicole has tragedy attached to her the way a bull has horns? What is that?
You know, you're a beautiful person because you're able to find humor in some of the most ironic and disturbing things. It's amazing how you're able to pull that together.
All right. Well, only because we're getting desperate and we're getting closer to Thursday night. And you're from San Diego.
Tell
I say you're in, Scott.
Yeah, tell him to hold.
He was throwing a curve, you know?
He was.
Yeah, I rode
but
with
But you know what? Can we do one quick one with you, Adam? I want to see how well he kisses your butt because that's the real
test. Well, Scott or Greg does?
Scott.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you ready?
Go ahead, sir.
I think Red Dawn is not a movie. It's a film. It's a cinematic triumph. How say you?
You know, I just agree that you have a great opinion and a great understanding of what it makes good theater and what makes good art. And I love the fact that you're able to tap into even older movies and bring them back to life.
On the other hand, it is pretty dated. I don't think it holds up.
Well, nothing holds up to the 4 hours of pure enjoyment and pleasure I get every morning listening to you.
All right, you're in.
That was it. He came back strong.
Yeah. See you in San Diego, Scott. Greg Fitzsimmons, please hang out with us whilst we do the news. Would that be kosher with you?
There's no place else I'd rather be.
Nice, see? It's contagious.
Adam, no matter what you say, I agree. Everything you do is genius.
T, what's in the news?
Well, big news about Britney Spears, and we'll talk a little Donald Trump and maybe break down some of Bush's speech.
We'll do that, plus sports, after this.
Wolverines! We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
I'll make it quick. Last night, President Bush spoke from the Oval Office in honor of the fifth anniversary of 9/11. During his address, he did a few things. He attempted to link the war in Iraq with the broader war on terrorism. Then he also compared the current crisis in the Middle East to World Wars I and II.
From Kabul to Baghdad to Beirut, there are brave men and women risking their lives each day for the same freedoms that we enjoy. And they have one question for us. Do we have the confidence to do in the Middle East what our fathers and grandfathers accomplished in Europe and Asia? Strategery.
Yeah, I like the part where he was explaining that they'd all have something creative to do if the oil dried up. Nice.
Yes, I think it was that it's not the oil underneath the ground that's their greatest resource. It's the talent and creativity of the people.
Well, speaking of great, great songs and talent and creativity, Britney Spears, it's reported by the National Enquirer, has had her baby girl. Now, this is just from the National Enquirer. It has not been confirmed, but they are reporting that she had a baby boy, earlier this morning in Los Angeles. 6-pound, 11-ounce baby boy.
I hear he's smoking already.
And I think
I heard that they didn't circumcise him, but they did give him a penis ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was another direction of going.
Searing, yeah. I like that.
Well, we'll see if that is true, but it appears to be. And I guess she gave birth by C-section.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Donald.
Yeah, she did it by C-section. And, you know, her jeans, she wears them so low, yeah. They were able to do the C-section without her taking her pants off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's my kind of hospital.
Sure.
I got hand surgery once. I had to take my underpants off. I was like, what's the plan, fellas? I'm knocked out. You got my underpants? What the hell? I wasn't born yesterday.
So you're saying her jeans are so low, she can even wear them and you don't see the C-section scar on there. It's fine. Okay, Donald Trump, as we reported last week, fired Carolyn, who's his assistant on The Apprentice and helps him fire people. Ironically, she was fired. For the first time, Donald Trump spoke out about why he fired Carolyn.
She's done very well. I really liked her a lot, and I still like her a lot. And what I did was good for Carolyn. I did the best thing for Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how George Bush did the best thing for the Iraqi people.
That's right.
That's for their own good.
I'm sure she's happy about that. But it does not suck. Play that, please.
Play it.
Play it, please. Play it.
Oh, you know you're right. Oh. Oh, okay. Wow.
Smoking sucks. The air right out of your lungs.
Does getting fired suck?
No, it does not suck because that's the best sucking thing I could suck on.
Do I have time to do one more story?
I sucked for you.
Okay, quickly. Brad Pitt was in Toronto promoting his film Babel. Here he discusses being a father.
That's exactly my thoughts now these days. Oh my God, what did I do? What are they going to see from films from the past? I start making that list. But yeah, it definitely colors what I'll approach in the future. I'll try to be a little bit more mature about my decisions, I think.
I'm starting to think he's not that smart.
Really?
No.
I think he gets a lot of cred because of his looks, but when he opens his mouth, turns out not that much going on inside that beautiful bean of his.
If he was smart, he just wouldn't let any of those kids learn English.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
He's got to explain nothing.
Yeah, whatever their native tongue is, let's keep it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time. Do it, Dave.
Time only to bring this up. Two Monday Night Football games. At the first one, in Washington, D.C., the Vikings went in there and beat the Redskins. But the thing that really stood out, Redskins owner Daniel Snyder just signed Tom Cruise to, you know, some gigantic contract. And so Cruise, in his new campaign to be a normal fella, showed up at RFK Stadium with his wife, Katie Holmes.
Boy, he's a huge Pigskin fan.
They drank beer and ate wieners and so on and so forth. Do you buy it?
And he apologized to Brooke Shields a few weeks back. Somebody, namely his publicist, got hold of him a month ago and said, Tom, I'm going to need you to start impersonating a human being.
Oh, and they published the baby's photos this week.
Yeah. That's right. Show the kids. Show the picture of the kids. Go to Brooke's house. Try to work up some tears for her, and then go to a football game. And he probably said, what's football? And the publicist had to explain, I'm gay. I don't know what football is either, but let's go on the internet and try to figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll Google
other
it.
Guys on this planet seem, other humans, humanoid people seem to enjoy this game where they take a sack filled with air. Black men chase each other around a gridded off field for it. I don't know. Let's Google it. Let's figure it out.
So
get to the bottom of this.
He's just simulating normal human male
behavior. I think
behavior.
Somebody yelled at him to start simulating human behavior 3 weeks ago, and he's done it.
Yes. Well, all right. That's that. It's time to go.
Wow. That's so abrupt.
Dave, you're very passionate about that. Well, that's it. Greg Fitzsimmons, hang tight with us because we'll be here to wrap up, give you a couple plugs, and do a little something called So What Have We Learned?
Like what you did to Linda.
That's right. On the hood after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Sophie Monk, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, no time left. Greg Fitzsimmons, Tempe Improv, Thursday through Sunday, gregfitzsimmons.com.
And check me out on FitzDog on MySpace. Don't be afraid to get on MySpace.
No, don't be stuck up. Well, wait a minute. No time.
No, we got time.
Time for So What Have We Learned? We'll play the poignant music. First, this goes out to any foreign nations planning on successfully invading the good old U.S. of A. Bring a sack lunch, but your first target, a small Colorado high school. That's where you begin. We learned that from Red Dawn. Number two, there are two condiments that prevent pregnancy. One, Tabasco, and the second, Nutella. Nutella. Spread a little of that on your junk. Irresistible to the ladies, but again, be careful during ant season. And number three, when banging the town slut on the hood of a car, make sure you go American, preferably Nova, because foreign cars, they just can't support that kind of weight.
Got in the rain. Got in the rain, Adams.
So, until next time, there we go. Rock tomorrow, Jimmy Kimmel, Robert Schimmel. Big show tomorrow.
You got Schimmel and Kimmel tomorrow?
Schimmel and Kimmel and The Rock. You tell me which one you think doesn't show. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.